want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, hold on a second. There you go.
Me.
There you go. How's that gum?
What gum?
You are a sly one.
What gum are you talking about?
The gum that's still in your mouth right now?
Yeah. Do you like to bet?
You just swallowed it, didn't you?
I did not.
What is it?
Nothing.
Nothing? Were you chewing on your tongue when you were just getting off the phone?
No.
I definitely saw some... Some of that. Oh, hi, Buzz.
Hi.
What are you doing going through the garbage for?
It's not in the garbage because it landed on the floor by accident.
Oh.
Look, lean forward.
Okay, hold on.
Take a look. If you have to, if you must, come around.
Hold on. No.
The hand is quicker.
Let me get up here.
Quicker than the eye.
Look.
Oh, be careful, Don.
That's my guy. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike.
And there have been many times that
Thank you, Mike.
There have been many times I've chewed it that you haven't been aware of it.
Okay, don't point at me like you haven't been aware of
it's the jacket. Many times.
Am I going to say
what do you mean? Oh, come on. I've worn sport jackets before, boys.
Dental records confirm that's Mike's gum.
Come on now, you're losing your heads.
Thank you for the gum thing.
And you heard that. You hear the click? The click of my beverage?
How are you?
That was a big piece of bubble gum. I could not have faked that. I couldn't have kept that in my mouth with the little minty gum that I, when I want to plant one on one of the guests.
Your Altoids gum that you have called?
The cinnamon Altoid I have bagged. I use the regular Altoid or another one because the cinnamon almost too strong.
What kind of gum is that?
That's regular Bazooka.
Bazooka, Acrozabs.
Bazooka, but now it's in the trash.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Or it was actually on the floor. Isn't
yeah,
it
I missed the trash.
Now?
I missed the trash.
We have a secret. We have great ratings. But they're only monthly ratings.
So we don't talk about them.
That's right, we don't.
No, it's for the best.
But I just want to whisper this. That we're getting very close to that rarefied air again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beauty pageant.
Sure.
The all listeners 12 plus and over.
Keep it up, ladies and gentlemen.
We're all the way back up to number 2.
Come on.
It's happening.
Come on.
It's happening again.
I'll
tell you the gayest thing I ever heard. Todd Hughes said this to me before the show today.
What did he say?
Well, you get these monthly ratings. You know, when they're good, they come in like they're your best friend.
Yeah.
And when they're bad,
they walk by the office.
It's like you're a leper.
Uh-huh.
So he comes by today and says, "Well, my good man." And he gives me the handshake and says, "Congratulations on the renaissance of the Don and Mike Show." The Renaissance.
Renaissance?
The Renaissance.
Renaissance would indicate that it went away for a while.
Rising from the ashes.
We've been pretty damn consistent.
And he said that before. He's still beating that run.
Yeah, no, this is something he's had going like since the FCC thing. That's his big thing.
Did you say congratulations on the glasses?
On your extremely gay glasses. Also want to warn you about something. Hey, we never do this to you, do they? We can do a phone scan right in the first break today.
That's scary.
No notice? Watch out. Yeah, that's right. No notice.
Wow.
So just be aware. Also, groaners today. Yes, we have groaners.
We do?
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh.
But before we start the groaners, Joe's written one.
All right.
And I'd like Joe, I'm glad you're excited, Buzz.
I am.
I'd like Joe to come in and read it, please, as Scott Shannon. And now here with his original groaner.
Hello.
Is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello. This is El Jefe. Have you heard that Starbucks will be offering Sunday morning church services in order to boost weekend sales?
No.
No.
It will be called the Church of Latte Day Saints.
You laughed at that?
I do. Yeah. I give him props.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry. Joe. I liked it.
Okay.
I did like it. You know, I'm the number one guy to run him down.
Well, let's see how you like the professional.
All right, let's go.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
Yes, hello there. I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and personal banker to Granny.
Granny. What comedian never gets lost? Magellan DeGeneres. Magellan.
Magellan.
I just screwed that one up worse than Joe would have.
There they are. He's not retarded.
Yes, I am. Magellan.
Magellan.
You know, I wish they, even in school, I wish they spelled that with a J.
I'm trying to think back of the Rudy mistake. What was the Rudy mistake?
Oh, that was Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Okay, don't worry.
All right. Three more
strong ones.
We've got solid ones. Then we're fine.
Well, solid is a relative word. Hello, this is Scott Shattered.
Hi, Scott.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Hi, Mil.
In the Bible, who was Noah's favorite singer? Ark Kelly.
That's not bad.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
What's the most popular MTV show at the zoo?
What?
T.R. Elephant.
Oh.
No latte, but
it's you.
That was Rob.
Yeah.
That's Rob.
Yep.
That's Rob.
He's hiding now. He's hiding from me.
Don't hide, Rob. Here we go. Listen, kids always end with the strongest material.
The final joke.
This is why, you know, we're clawing our way back up to number one.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, 8 months ago, everybody laughed.
These are the reasons.
We're down there at number 13 to get the ratings today. Look at that.
We're just
a nun's hair away from number one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm still Scott Shatter.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, still in character.
Which desperate housewife just quit smoking? Nicorette Sheraton.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey now.
I like them all.
Even the bad ones.
Give a thought in here.
How about Joe's? Joe's was plenty retarded, wasn't it? I like his delivery, though.
Church of Latte Day Spain.
It's his art in your ear. Right, it's not the same song as you hear on the radio. This one, it's not Let's Get Started in here. It's the real song. All right, hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Oh, John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Julia.
Hello.
Hi there. Jerry.
Hello.
Bert. Tony. Okay. Hi, Dynamite. We appreciate it.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are...
True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
How have you been? Door sounds good. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. T.R. Elephant.
Yeah.
And all the ships at sea. Hey, it's time for Honk Honk. It's time for Don Geronimo. And my phone there.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. And sadly, once again, in my home last night, no honk honking. No. My car was in the garage. Don and Mike show, new episode. Oh, hello. New episode on this Thursday. 1-1-1-8-0-4.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz. And yes, call us from anywhere in America. At 877-365-3636.
Wow.
Right out of the chute. Canada, 800-636-1067. And D.C., 202-432-1067. Sure, I got stuff to talk about. You know me.
Yeah.
I could fill all 4 hours with talking about my fantastic life. Mike's got stuff. Everybody's got stuff. Frankly, we have a jammed-up show today.
Uh-huh.
That's how good it is. It's jammed up. If we don't take your calls now, we may not take them today.
That would be
jammed. It's filled with jam. And we never give the people who listen at this time of the show
an
opportunity to call in.
No, I mean, you get your people that literally are stalkers that start calling in until 2 o'clock Eastern time. But we never get the real people to say, hey, maybe I'd like to call at this time.
Uh-huh. And for instance, I mean, our website, Dynamike website, Website.com is still averaging over 700,000 hits a day.
It's amazing.
And we're only mentioning that, I think yesterday, perhaps 12 times, but really heavily in the beginning of the show.
Right.
So these are the people who maybe will turn a phone scan around for
Absolutely.
Us.
I have faith.
Not that they're all not great. And Rob, don't shake your head like that.
Rob doesn't have faith.
Don't shake your head.
This is going to be a good phone scan.
Thanks. Thank you, my friend. I'm empowered now.
Yeah,
feel like
great.
Oprah. Thank you. There's your new car. Get out of here. Hello. Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Britney Hi there.
Spears checking in.
Who's this?
Britney Spears.
Hi, hey, Britney.
Hey, how are you?
What's happening, Sydney?
Yeah, you know, I'm tired. I wanted to be out of media spotlight, but I don't want to be all the way out, so I figured I'd give you a call.
I read where you've been fighting with your new husband, Federline.
Yeah, but... You know, my boobs are hanging down, and I don't know. I just need a break.
Yeah, all right, no need to prepare.
Didn't have the material.
Thank you, Brittany. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How have you been?
We've been fine. How have you been? On this early, unorthodox phone scan.
So far going great.
Hold on, boys. Hey, I just want to say I love your show. You guys keep me going in the afternoons. Nothing but love for you, brothers. Nothing but love.
Thank you, brother. Right back at you. I gave him a point, too. Right at you, brother.
Mike is actually pointing at people now, even people who aren't here.
Thank you, brother.
You give the showbiz point.
Yeah, you're right on.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yeah.
Hello.
You guys hate up on them Ditos?
Now, you must turn down your radio first.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I hear the radio in the background.
No, you listen to me.
No, you listen to me.
No.
Yeah, right. Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Settle that.
Hello there.
That was easy.
Yeah, you're going to lose that fight if you say, no, you listen to me.
Yeah.
And we're pushing the buttons. Hello, Don and Mike show. This is the phone scan.
We've caught them unprepared.
When's the next time we're doing a phone scan at the beginning of the show?
Well, we might stop this one soon. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
I was just curious, if you can give me the title of the soundtrack that you guys play when Buzz does his sexy voice, my woman loves it.
Well, that's kind of a generic...
Loves the music.
That's just our
almost
generic...
music.
Generic sex music.
Really?
It's on every porn
movie. Robbie?
It was on a cart we stole from NEW.
Oh, we actually stole that tape from a radio station we got fired from.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mike?
Hold on, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I've got a good nickname for Johnny Damon. I wanted to get your approval.
All right. Well, he's been called anything from Mountain Man to Caveman to Jesus Christ.
I think I got the best one.
All right.
The Yeti of Yawkey Way.
Okay. Well, you should have quit when you were ahead.
There you go.
Enjoy. Isn't Yeti like another name for Bigfoot?
Yeah.
I got to tell you about the Red Sox.
Yes.
I don't know where I read this, but I read something that was hilarious from. Who's the guy that's on that show that used to be our producer? Yesteryear.
Yesteryear, right?
Okay. Oh, Garcia.
Mike O'Malley is a huge Red Sox fan.
Here's what I read about him, and it's so funny.
He was actually at the games.
Okay. Here's what he said about that. Oh, and the show Yesteryear is on CBS. And what's funny is the show's executive producer is a guy who, back in the day, was lower on our food chain in the show than Joe was.
He was an intern, Greg Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy that had to go to 7-Eleven. That was his job. And now he's running a TV show. So I'm reading this thing with Mike O'Malley, who was also, I guess, the Rick on ESPN.
Right.
And they said to him in the interview, congratulations on the Red Sox. And he said, well, thanks, but... Isn't it odd you're congratulating me? I've not done anything.
Right.
I'm just a fan of the team.
Right.
If Jay-Z put an album out today and it sold 1 million copies, would you come up to me and say, hey, congratulations on that Jay-Z album?
Right.
No, you know, and he was saying...
And he was one of the guys I saw when they were losing that was really in the crowd suffering. So he's an honest fan of the Sox.
And he also made the point of saying he will continue to accept the congratulations,
good.
Even though he's really not sure exactly why he is.
I didn't have the same moral dilemma that he had because I didn't even make that statement when people started congratulating me. Although it did feel a little weird, I'll be honest with you. You know, when you're just sitting in your slub chair watching
exactly
your team,
his point.
No matter how long suffering it is, you still you didn't hit the ball, you didn't throw the ball. But I should tell you something. My hats came in yesterday. My hats and my T-shirts.
Ah, good for you.
Yeah, and you know, I got two each of. I told you I was going to get two each. I got two hats that were schlubby hats, the kind that that aren't for large guys with large heads.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the super fitted ones just from the World Series with the little World Series logo. And I got the long sleeve T-shirts that say
world champions on them.
Oh, my God. I was like a little kid. I went out to dinner right away, and I put it on. I changed out of my shirt, like, right in the kitchen. Hey, Carla said to me, she said, you have a price tag on that. And I would have gone out with a price tag. Look at my T-shirt.
Get down to Red Lobster and show everybody your shirt.
No, I went to a better place.
Oh.
Huh. Look around, Cafe.
Wow. Keep forgetting the only place you go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hi there.
What's up, guys? I just wanted to say I love the new website.
Oh, thank you very much.
And no matter what, anything happens, Mike, we're all just people.
Just people. People, boy, it's a long time.
That is a long time. Man, that's a long time.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Early show phone scan.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Good. Hey, I was just, like that other guy, I was just calling to say that I went to the website last night, and I really like it, and I just was going to let you know I sent you an email from my email machine.
All right. We're doing a little backtracking with this early phone scan.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. This is the phone scan. Unheard of at this time of the show.
Sure is.
Hello?
And still a challenge for certain individuals.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Don?
Yes, and Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what?
You guys like fast food, right?
Love it. We eat it 24/7.
Yeah. Live on it.
That's our motto. Supersize us.
I've always said there's nothing quite as good as fast food.
Anyway, right, come on.
Who doesn't like fast food?
Sure.
Yes.
Have you guys tried? It's called Five Guys Hamburgers. Have you ever tried it?
Listen, here's my advice to you and whoever put you up to this telephone call.
No, nobody put... I'm just
the business line of this radio station is 555-1212. Call and get a schedule, my friend. I hear the spots on the station.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
I hear the commercials for this place on our radio station.
Yeah, I've tried it. I didn't really like it.
You didn't?
No.
You didn't like it?
Nope.
Okay. I'm just curious. I just tried it like a month ago, and
I had a tooth in one of my burgers.
Come on,
a rotten tooth.
I liked it. I was just asking, you know.
Nope. Not okay. Here. Nope.
Just hey, look, I love your show.
I got botulism there one time.
You need to stop.
Then my skin started flaking and everything. And then I had that problem that you get with the pill for 4 hours afterwards.
Man, that's the low-grade radiation.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's terrible. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Bye.
See you later.
Ask for the Mad Cow special.
Bye-bye. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now.
Hi. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, I got something nice for the junk drawer for you guys.
All right. Go ahead. What is it?
What was that?
I don't know. It's the magic of an early show phone scan.
Strange.
Keep hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's different.
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. You're on the air. Hello.
All right. I was wondering your thoughts on changing Christmas in Canada from the 25th of November to the 25th of December, traditional.
Oh, yeah. So Canada celebrates Christmas on the 25th of November?
Yeah, but I'd also like to state that I am celebrating Thanksgiving twice this year.
Wait a minute. I thought Thanksgiving's the different day. Christmas is on the 25th
in Canada.
Christmas is the same
everywhere.
We already have Thanksgiving, but I'm doing it again.
But dude, Christmas is the same everywhere.
Or are you saying it?
No, it's the 25th of November.
It is not. It is not. In Canada, it is not.
Yeah.
It is
absolutely
not.
Absolutely is. I'm not lying.
J-Man's only got one birthday.
And besides, it's mostly Boxing Day up there, isn't it?
Well, we do everything.
Well, what are you doing? Are you at a computer right now?
No, I'm in my van.
In your van by the river?
I'm down by the river. Well,
yep.
I would stake my shaky reputation on the fact that Jesus' birthday is celebrated on the same day in Canada as it is here.
I'm not sure Jesus recognizes Canada.
He does
now,
not,
Rob, that's a pretty dramatic
thing.
You're right, he does not.
That's right.
Buzz.
Yes.
Third world
the
country.
Green fairy.
That must be what you're on. I'm looking at Canadian schedule of holidays, and your Christmas is on December 25th, just like ours, immediately followed by Boxing Day on the 26th.
Way to go, Buzz.
Buzz's homepage. The Canadian holiday.
I observe all of them.
Well, you can link that to Don and Mike website.
You pulled that up pretty quick there, Buzz.
Oh, thank you.
It's good.
Okay.
So what's your...
You're on the internet in Canada. That's probably why.
Hey, what's your... Are you from Canada?
I am. I'm in Toronto right now.
Well, what's the whole deal with this you know, this November 25th?
Mike, this is the crazy Canadian humor coming through.
Why the deception, sir?
Yeah. Canadian humor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. You still there?
Yeah.
Why? Why are you still there?
That's arguable.
Hello?
Eject.
Okay, finally. All right, at least we won that.
I don't think that individual was from Canada.
Winner! He was.
He was.
He was going on the Toronto line.
All right.
He was.
He just sounded vaguely familiar to me.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Boog and Cal calling from Camden Yards.
Hey, Boog. What's happening?
Hello.
Just calling to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
You sound so young, Boog.
I take good care of myself.
Yeah. It's all the barbecue.
Now, there's somebody that just had at least thought of a response.
And that's good.
And didn't Boog Powell recently have some, like, incredible quadruple vibe?
Well, that's why he sounds younger.
Something like got a monkey liver in it or something
like
that.
Look what it did for him.
Uh-huh. Hello,
sounds great.
Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
What a bunch of jerks you have calling in today.
Well, you gotta be one to call one.
Welcome to the club.
Hey, I want you to take this as a compliment, but on your website, your wives are much better looking than I ever thought that you guys would have. I mean, very cute.
Well, it's very nice.
That's very nice. Nice
compliment.
And I want you to take this as a compliment, too. You're the biggest jerk that's called this show today.
Hey, I have another question, if you have a second. Can you please spell that absent stuff? I'm trying to find that on the website, and I can't do it.
Dude, it's on the links page.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. I haven't totally checked out your website yet.
Oh, well, like, totally check it out, dude.
Hey, can I totally give you one more suggestion?
No.
Sure.
Sure. You know what? I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'm being curt with you. I'm being short.
One more.
Go ahead.
One more.
Okay, you know all those...
Hello.
Thank you. Sorry, I wasn't on my game there.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey.
Hi, phone scan. We never do the phone scan at this time of the show.
I never got a hold of you guys. This is great. I'm in Rochester, New York. You guys are the bomb.
Wait a minute, what are you doing?
I think it's something
I'm
like...
I'm working and trying to talk to you. I have two cell phones.
Yeah, I'm in Rochester, New York. You guys are the bomb.
What line of work would you have where you're throwing that phone all around?
I'm a loser. Drive tow truck. It's the worst.
You drive a tow truck?
No, you're not. Yeah, you guys make the whole afternoon great, though. I wish you were
nice. Are you a good tow truck driver?
You're not a loser driving a tow truck.
One cell phone in each hand, a steering wheel on the knee. And a car in the back.
What could be safer?
he's
multitasking.
See you later.
But happy Thanksgiving.
All right, same to you.
Thank you.
And remember, you're not a loser. You're an underachiever. You're not a loser.
I'm way underachieved than Joe. So, how's his mouth?
It's better. It's healing. Okay.
And remember, it's hard
guys.
To talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Remember, don't say the G. Call it Thanksgiving.
Yes. Oh,
Don and Mike show. Hello, Don and Mike.
It's homier.
Folks,
hello.
It's like kibbles and bits. Or the cat and crunch.
Or the ultimate tard expression. Turkey Day!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
That's not tard.
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling for a message for Buzz.
Yes, Buzz is here.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, actually, I want to tell you about a show I saw this weekend. It's about absinthe.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, if you look on finelivingchannel.com, there's actually televising again tonight and tells you how it's made.
He's actually writing this.
Fine Living Channel. I haven't heard of that yet. Oh. Now, you, Mr. Television, have you heard of that?
No.
The show's Thirsty Traveler. No, the show's called Thirsty Traveler.
Is it a website or is it a cable channel?
Yeah, the Fine Living Channel. It's a TV show on digital cable up here in Baltimore, and I know they have it near the D.C. area.
All right.
I bet we have it on digital cable.
Right, Buzz will watch it.
Yeah, Thursday Traveler tonight at 8 o'clock. It tells you how they make absinthe and everything.
Cool. Wow, that's great. Thanks for the tip. That's actually pretty helpful. I have answered more questions about that little aperitif in the last week than everybody wants to know about it, and what I tell people is that, seriously, am I exaggerating, guys, when I put my fingers about an inch apart? That's how much he poured in there, and the rest was water, and after half of that, kaboom. Absolutely.
I got a bottle that I've got at home, and my funny cunny honey and I are going to break it out on Thanksgiving Day.
Enjoy. You know, potential... to break it out on the holiday.
I agree.
I'm giving the same thought to doing that, and I think he can get fireworks.
Here's what
with that kind of hooch.
Here's the combination that's going to put me into heaven.
Okay.
First off, the total body count now. Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. What's it down to?
13.
It's gone up a little bit.
It's gone up a little bit, but there's a lot of those are like my kid and other relatives that are in college. They're going to just come make the token appearance
and
get out of there.
Yeah. When are you thinking about ingesting the absinthe?
Here's the thing. It's going to be a two-part experience for me.
Good.
It will first be the turducken.
Okay. Yes.
Now,
so you're going to, when you say the turducken, but I mean, I'm asking when are you going to have your first pop?
before I put the turducken in the oven.
Oh, I want to hear about it. Right there, I'm looking forward to coming back after Thanksgiving to hear about your life.
Hold on, I've just been handed a note from Joe. Use the handrails.
Yes. Yes. By all means. Good advice. Yeah.
Use the safety belt. Thank you, Joe.
Rob, we got any extra bottles of that stuff lying around?
Possibly.
Oh. Yeah, everybody's stealing a bottle.
I just won.
I didn't get one this time.
Right. That's too bad. No. You've only got like 50 in your...
No, I have none.
In your bomb shelter home.
I'm out of Epsom.
So that was my main question to you, is that you're going to dive in prior to putting the turducken in the oven?
Here's the plan.
Before cooking.
Here's the Thanksgiving Day plan.
Uh-huh.
That the entire clan arrives, and that I put the turducken... No, not your...
No, Rob.
Not your clan. Clan with a C.
I got excited.
Clan with a C. I put the turducken in about 10, and that's when I'll make the first batch.
Clan's here.
10 a.m.
Right.
That's not too sick. It's Thanksgiving, but it's still a Thursday morning.
Right. Yeah.
At 10 a.m. that I'm going to begin the festivities.
All I know, and you know I'm a professional, and I had half a drink of that stuff on the show, and that's all it took. And I'm not talking about feeling a little giddy. I am talking about I was there. What happened afterwards with the other two was just adding on to what existed. But I predict you will have... now, you're going to do two?
Two what?
Two absinthe drinks during the whole day, or three?
Oh, no. See, here's the thing. I'm going to start with one with my wife, a celebratory one,
right,
as I put the turkey into the oven.
Right. Okay.
Then as people start to come over, well, if somebody else would like to try one with us, as other family members have indicated.
All right, very good.
We'll have open bar. Then I figure maybe by the time the food is ready, I'll have had three.
Right.
And then the football games start, and, you know, that's when you stop counting.
Right. All right. I predict you will not make it past halftime of the 4 o'clock football game.
Well, when I tried it that one time with Buzz and Marcia at the beach, I was cool with three.
You were?
Yeah.
I was cool.
That was evening. I mean, here's the good news, bad news about your plan. I think the good news is that it's going to be a happy day because it is the happiest beverage on earth. The bad news is I don't know about how the turkey's going to come out.
And you know, I probably shouldn't even have said this because I know that Frida, if she was listening now, would call and say, you know, we're not going to start doing that at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're just talking about crap on the radio. You're talking about crap on the radio. But I know how it's going to work out.
All right. I'm going to give you a piece of sage advice here. I mean, I know what you're planning on doing. Sage. I think, frankly, you ought to wait till at least noon. You ought to prepare the
Mike,
food.
It's noon somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
I just say, if you're going with that plan, you might have gotten lucky down in Ocean City with the Burbanks.
Mike.
I'm just basing it on my experience from the Absinthe show.
I know.
When they said at the end of the evening, after I'd had 27 Diet Cokes, that I was still looking at people like I thought they were going to kill me.
Hold on. Here she is. I knew it. Hello.
Hello, Booville. You know, I am listening, and I wasn't going to call until I heard you mimic my voice so precisely.
Well...
And I don't mind that you say this on the radio, but we aren't going to start that at 10:30 in the morning.
Sure,
I mean, I think it's a good idea after dinner's cooked. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed in the time we've been married, but I'm not the best cook in the world anyway.
And I don't know if you remember that last year on Christmas, I did handle that meal by myself, and I think I could handle the Thanksgiving meal by myself. The absinthe will just make it a much better dinner for everybody.
Well, the combination of absinthe and tryptophan.
I think that's a good idea afterwards,
good
when we're all, you know, rested and feeling good from a dinner
You know, maybe it'll just be me then. Maybe we won't have that romantic toast that I had hoped. Perhaps I'll, as usual, just have to drink alone.
No, I prefer if you did not drink
at 10 o'clock,
10
dinner. O'clock in the morning on a Thursday.
Would you like to bring a tape recorder for the break?
We'll bring a tape recorder, but we'll do it later on, okay? That's a compromise.
All right, baby.
All right.
But either way, absinthe will be a big part of our turducken turkey day.
And maybe it could be a
turducken.
And maybe you could make traditional absinthe-flavored yams.
Baby.
Yes.
Hey, baby.
Yes?
Go out in the garage and look in the freezer in the garage.
Is that from last year?
Yes, it is.
We're not having last year's turducken.
Sure, it's good.
Should be fine.
No, Marilyn, I'm having a fresh turkey. Not last year's.
That turducken can stay in our freezer for a year.
Now, I think this absinthe Thanksgiving is shaping up to be special.
All right, listen, we got to get back to the phone scan, honey.
All right, okay, goodbye.
Love you, goodbye. Anyway, I was, until 10 minutes ago, really looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Well, I think you you do whatever makes you feel good.
You know me. Yeah. Bull in a china shop. It'll be my way or the highway. I mean, at least in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then until she imposes her iron will on me.
I don't think there's going to be any trouble that'll come out of drinking this at 10:30 in the morning. I think sleep will come to you. Easily with the combination of absinthe and tryptophan,
and go by my guide, my yardstick, which is never drink until the parade's over.
Hello, Don and Mike. So what's that, like 11:30?
Well, it's 10.
10. Ah.
There's Santa Claus. Pour it.
Hello there. You're on the air for a phone scan.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Donnie, did you smoke your cigar from the Cigar Family charitable thing this year?
Yes, I did.
Was that not a fantastic opus?
Yeah, that deal they had at FedEx Field for the Cigar Family Foundation. Yeah.
God, I wish I had 10 of those.
Beautiful Opus X. So do I,
I'm keeping my eyes open for you for the holiday season shipments, brother.
Thank you, because if there's one thing I need, it's a few more Opus X cigars. I don't have many of them.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Hello, Don.
Maybe you could have the cigar before you put the turkey in.
Don and Mike Show, I will.
Bring your gods.
I will. That'll be. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas.
Right.
I love it as long as there's not 50 people in my house as there has been in previous years.
Right. The only opus I'll be enjoying on Thanksgiving is Mr. Holland's.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio Guys. I want to know if Rob or Mike has figured out who the boss is on My Big Fat Obnoxious Boss.
You mean figured out? Oh, you mean the behind the scenes? Rob, you and I were talking about it the other day. You speculated on.
Well, you know, I actually, this is the first show that I've cared enough to go to, like, the chat room to see what people are saying.
What are they saying?
That's sad.
Guilty.
Yeah. I think.
Guilty, Rob.
I think it has to be like a hamster or a mouse or something like that.
I think it might be. Who was the guy?
You said Ross Perot.
Ross Perot.
I said it might be George Steinbrenner.
I like that too.
No, but they said last week.
I've never seen the show, but I think it's going to be the fat guy in his underwear from My Big Fat Obnoxious Boss.
That could be it too. Yeah. It might. It depends on whether they're going to have a real boss or it's just going to be a complete ruse.
Right. I think it's just some kind of inanimate object because they said that it doesn't give an answer or a reason. And why they fire him.
Well, that's right. He just picks the person or whoever it is.
Yeah. But would that truly be the most outrageous reveal in the history of reality television?
Much as that it might be the Magic 8
Ball. The Magic 8 Ball.
It could be. I mean, I don't know. He goes when they're getting ready to say, get the hell out of my office,
which is just so jive, too. They go back. He walks back into an office. And the last time he looked at it was they showed a big office chair, a la Seinfeld when they used George Steinbrenner, and you didn't even see anybody's head.
I think they showed a hand, though. Didn't they show a hand?
They showed a hand.
Have you seen the ads for the Seinfeld that's going to run on Thanksgiving?
Not yet.
No.
Join Jerry. Elaine and Kramer. Jason, what's his name?
Alexander.
George won't be there because he's filming his new show. However, it's the Seinfeld retrospective, which will run on Thanksgiving night with exclusive bloopers from Jerry's collection and, incidentally, the first three seasons of Seinfeld on DVD are available for sale the following day. I saw the ad last night before Law and Order when they came on and they said NBC has a major announcement. Our Thursday night lineup is whoosh back, and it was just Jerry and Elaine and Kramer standing there.
You know they're going to start having these reunion shows while the shows are still on the air.
It would make a perfect Chrismukka gift.
Yes, Chrismukka.
Hello,
Chrismukka.
Don and Mike Show. Hello, phone Mike. Scan. Early show phone scan. Hello,
Don and Mike.
Yeah,
buddy.
Hi.
Hey, I just became a Nielsen family member like a week ago. Is there anything you really don't want me to watch?
No, but I would love you to watch the Jane Pauley show.
To give it a high rating.
Just because she's bipolar. And she loves saying it all the time. Hi, I'm Jane Pauley. You'd love me on the Today Show and Dateline NBC. I have a mental illness called bipolar.
I'm Jane Pauley.
Jane, my guest today is a woman who's a shopaholic.
What should he watch tonight? Antiques Roadshow on PBS. The Absinthe Show.
And also, he should watch John McEnroe and How to Boil Water.
Goodbye. That's a real show, incidentally, How to Boil Water on the Food Network.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Doesn't do well.
Oh, Mira?
What?
I made it to your restaurant.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
Thank you. Good night. Didn't make it any farther. Thank you very much.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Why go further?
Hi, phone scan. Hello.
I know how much you love Wayne Newton.
We do.
So I would like to invite you guys to Green Bay on December 16th for his amazing Christmas show.
Wayne, he's going to be doing it in Green Bay.
Wayne Newton's doing the show in Green Bay on December 16th.
Can I just make a comment?
What about your brother, Wayne?
Well, the reason that I took martial arts is for one reason and one reason only.
What was that, Wayne?
I wanted to kill my brother. But as far as you with this recent cold that you've been suffering...
Oh, but feeling much better today, can't you tell?
Can I just say,
Dad is home.
To the listeners, the beating that this man puts himself through each and every year during the cold and flu season.
I just flew
into where I'm doing my Christmas show in Green Bay. And I'm just happy to be here. It's fantastic.
My friend.
Green Bay. My friend.
My friend. My friend. Oh, this thing got a queue up.
I wanted to kill my brother.
My friend. This is the slowest queue up in the world.
Donkey shine.
My friend.
My friend.
You know, you've always been a Packer, haven't you?
I've always been a Packer. Hey, now listen. I'm going to knock you on your ass.
Like you did Johnny Carson?
That's right.
That's where the jokes stop.
I don't like them insinuating that I'm a homosexual.
All right, well, if you can't cue... Oh, you got it? Here it is.
Johnny Carson began a routine about Wayne that seemed to mock his masculinity.
You know, I'd done his show 20 times.
Yeah.
Why would he be making those jokes about me? And he would say things like, I don't know if you've seen Wayne Newton and Liberace in the same bathtub, but it is pink.
The new Wayne Newton wasn't laughing along anymore. He went to Carson's studio unannounced and confronted him.
See you in Green Bay.
And I closed the door. And I said, I don't know why you're doing that kind of trash humor about me, but it better stop. And it better stop now or I'm going to knock you in your ass. It's that simple. I'm sorry it had to happen. Because I was a big fan of his.
Yeah.
And maybe therein lies the real problem. I was hurt more than I was angered or felt threatened about my masculinity.
The jokes stopped.
Wow. And I was never on Carson after that.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello. Hello? Hi.
Greetings and salutations from the city that reads, Baltimore, Maryland.
Right on. How you doing?
Great. I was just wondering, if you all were a food, what would you be and why?
What?
If you were a food, what would you be and why?
I would be a prune so I could get out of your body as fast as I possibly could.
See, now that the crap comes out of my mouth here, is that the phone? And how long is this phone scan going to be anyways? This is a long, early phone scan.
Well, now it's going to be at least one call longer.
Yeah, because we were going to end with you, but now we can't.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Mike O'Mara.
Yes?
How have you been? This is Verizon Wireless.
You know, we got an Ixnay on that. They ran quite a few commercials on our show yesterday.
Yeah, and it wasn't wireless.
Hello. Awesome. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Pleased to be announcing I'm the first in my block to own the official Don and Mike zippered sweatshirt and hat.
Oh, did you actually order it and get it?
Well, I'm on the West Coast, so I have to wait for the postal service. But I'm not Sacramento,
you've been to the
so
store.
Hopefully it will get here. Right. I was there Saturday morning.
All right, thank you, my friend. Appreciate. We can't end with a plug like that.
Sure can.
That sounds planted.
Yeah, I know.
Hello, Don, Mike show.
Yeah, did you see the picture of the anorexic-looking, disgusting Howard Stern on the New York Daily News website?
Hold on. Okay, yeah, we'll stop there. What a picture of Howard where he's not looking incredibly handsome?
That's unusual because usually he looks very very muscular and very non-anorexic.
He looks like he's got AIDS or cancer or something.
No, we must be looking at different pictures, dude, because I see Val Kilmer.
I think as he's gotten older, he's looked a lot better.
Paul Newman.
I think he looks great.
If you look at the article that's linked off of DCR TV, you'll see a picture of him.
Okay, well, you know, you might find this hard to believe, but if we go in the lobby of the radio station, mm-hmm. there's a picture of him out there.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Listen, you still get a prize, though.
Oh, cool.
That's amazing.
Still get a prize. Well, we got a break here. We have somebody important coming up.
Right.
You, my friend, have got... Oh, great. You got the juice box. Okay?
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. You got the WWE SmackDown Tough Enough Challenge Pack with the juice box, also known as the digital video player. And please watch WWE's live pay-per-view presentation of Armageddon. That's Sunday, December 14th.
Cool.
Okay, thank you.
That's right.
Bye-bye.
And I think pictures sometimes take pounds off.
Thank you for the tip on the beautiful picture. Because, as you know, we're doing our big collage on the back wall of the studio.
Oh, it's great. We collect them.
full of pictures of Howard.
We're going to try another one.
I'm gonna try to add a picture today of when he was down in whatever location it was he was working in New York, giving away satellite radio.
I like pictures of him better than pictures of me.
See you later.
Bye.
Okay, hold on.
You enjoyed
that. For goodness sakes. That's a phone scan very early in the show.
Yeah, that's right, and I think it's wonderful.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two members of the Seattle Star Wars Society are giving new meaning to the term diehard fan. They kicked off the new year by getting in line for Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, 4.5 months before the May 16th release of the film. John Guth and Jeff Twyton, I think it is, are outside Cinerama in Seattle, Washington, waiting. John and Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
I'm trying to do...
Hi, John and Mike.
Oh, we get to say hi, Mom, and everything like that. Jeff and John, we appreciate it. Good luck to you, and maybe we'll check in with you as the 129 days tick off.
Please.
Yep.
Thanks.
See you, Don and Mike.
Dude.
The Don and Mike Show. Here with a lovely radio bouquet for ye, Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Robbie, pick that up. I bet that's Jordan Zevon. Tomorrow on the show, Rich Eisen will be here for the Friday NFL Picks. Rich is the host of NFL Total Access every night on the NFL Network. Go to NFL.com. Wow. Rich is brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies that you love than Tower. The late, great Warren Zevon, I remember in 1978, I'm working at Pro FM in Providence, and they're pushing this record, and top 40 stations don't want to play it.
Right.
Because it's too good. It's one of those things.
Right.
So they had a marketing campaign where they sent all the disc jockeys and music directors pins that said, AU, A-H, dash, O-O-O, like comic book style.
Right.
And believe it or not, that's what finally got these dumb radio guys.
Well, you know, when you appeal to their cartoon instincts.
to play the record.
Whatever it takes.
The late, great Warren Zevon. Everybody knows how great he was. Yeah. And joining us now is his son, Jordan. Jordan, what's happening?
Not too much. How you guys doing?
Hey, dude. Thanks.
Great to have you on the show, Jordan. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
I know you hear this from everybody about how your dad's music touched a lot of people. You know, we had Brian Wilson on a couple of weeks ago, and I just climbed right up there and gave him a prostate exam.
Mm-hmm.
I love his music so much. Your dad's music, while it didn't affect me the same way, at least for me, I put your dad in a category. Brian Wilson is when I'm happy. Then when I'm maybe pissed at the world, I listen to either Elvis Costello or Warren Zevon.
Yep. No, the lyrics of Warren Zevon are just amazing.
The best.
I mean, really an original, a true original, and it must have been unique to grow up around that kind of creativity.
I think it was unique compared to most people, but to me it just seemed like regular family, you know, like when the Osborne show came out on MTV and I saw it and thought, okay, this makes sense. They family loves each other. They curse a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing. It was like, you know, all bets were off as far as whatever humor you wanted to pursue or words you wanted to say, but the bottom line was there was a lot of love and respect and care and all that good stuff.
And we're so glad to have Jordan on the show. This is a CD that's available. Enjoy Every Sandwich, the songs of Warren Zevon, and crazy, crazy great people like Bruce Springsteen, Jackson Brown, Bob Dylan is on this thing. Don Henley, oh, he's great doing Searching for a Heart. God, is that good.
No.
And even Adam Sandler.
Oh, that's great.
Doing Werewolves of London.
Oh, cool.
Where did you get the idea to do this record with all of these different people?
Well, when we first talked about it, the main thing that we wanted to avoid was it being the most obvious choices for doing these songs. I mean, all artists that were kind of the same genre and the
right
era and everything else, that we just wanted to be a little more diverse and interesting. And then there's so many times also when I see tribute records and I get excited about the idea, and then I look, and I've never heard of one single band on the album.
Right.
And it was kind of trying to make it. I think we almost went out of our way to make an album that you couldn't love every song on it, because there's something that's going to be out of your taste range. But then at the same time, there's going to be more than the average.
It doesn't appear from this album that you got anybody turning you down. Did you were people pretty eager to get involved with this project?
Oh, and Billy Bob's on this, I should mention. As well.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes, he is.
Were people eager?
He was a friend of Jordan's.
Oh yeah,
dad.
They were great friends.
I would imagine they were pretty.
Seen anything funnier than the two of them having a conversation?
People were pretty jacked to be a part of this project, I would imagine.
The people were really generous. I mean, especially when you think about Henley and how busy he's been with touring and the Pixies, who at first we really didn't think was going to be possible, but then they flew out a tape machine because they don't work digital and slammed down the track. I mean, people definitely went out of their way.
Well, I've been listening to this record for a couple of weeks now, and the two songs that I'd like to play a little bit of, we're not a music show, but I'm going to just play a little bit. Maybe the greatest, Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Yeah, okay.
And is that maybe the best Warren Zevon song? Done by the Wallflowers.
Okay.
You know, by Bob Dylan's kid. And like I say, we're not a music show. Jordan, what's your thought when you hear other people doing a song your dad is so identified with?
Oh, I love it. I love it because I'm so it's so ingrained in the version of the songs that he did that it's great to hear another take on it. And it was a big reminder of just how brilliant a songwriter he was.
Right. Yeah,
like when you hear Springsteen do My Rides here.
Oh, well, yeah, that was my other choice that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, and he plays it in that kind of Nebraska style, which was an album that Dad and I both loved and listened to on a road trip at one time, and it just really get to hear the lyrics, and you're reminded of what made him who he was and how he was able to have a career for basically most of his adult life.
Everybody, just dig this for a second. Yeah. The Wallflowers here, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Remember I said, like, when I'm mad, mm-hmm. This is a go-to for me. Always has been. It's a good record.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan, I'm listening to this. I mean, it's the first time I've heard it, and I'm listening to this and thinking, this was no, get in the studio and get it done quickly. I mean, there's some time and care put into this record, it sounds like.
Yeah, and they worked with Brendan O'Brien, who's just an amazing producer, who did Black Crowes, Southern Harmony, and Rage Against the Machines. I don't know if their last record or not, but he's just a terrific producer. And I was able to actually play that song with them on the Late Show couple weeks ago. And,
oh, good.
It was a gas.
You know, your dad was also an inspiration to a lot of people, without getting into a lot of stuff here. I've had my share of health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what your dad went through in some ways with cancer and everything else. Your dad, the night that he was on the Letterman show, when he came out and he was so
self-deprecating,
I always say self-defecating, mm-hmm. But it really it's the same thing. But he was so just out there, and Letterman was feeling badly, saying, you know, in essence, saying to your dad, dude, you're dying, and your dad seemed to be okay with it. And how long beyond, if you don't mind me asking, the time that the doctors told him he was going to check out, how much longer did your dad hang in, kick ass, make people happy, make music, stay productive?
Well, the radiologist who wasn't... I've had a thing that's been quoted a bunch of times, which is just that I think that it's very irresponsible to give people timelines on how long they're going to live,
mm-hmm.
unless you're holding a firearm at them.
Right, right.
You can directly control it. And so they told me I had 2 months to live, which might have been good at the time because it really got the fire burning and got him working hard because
right. He
really didn't think he had much time. But it ended up being a year.
Right.
That's fantastic.
He handled it, and we know the public side, but publicly, and based on his, the Letterman show, just did he bring that kind of ease with the situation to your family as much as he did to his fans and the public when he was on stage? I thought it was the most gracious way of handling what so many people you know have had difficulty with. He brought such grace to it, and I'm wondering whether he did that for your family
and
as well.
And the cable special. I mean, no pun intended. It just kills you to watch the cable special on your dad's life.
Did he do that at home too?
He did. He really did. And the thing about it was that he really liked Humphrey Bogart. He liked that kind of old school style of being the tough guy, and that's the way that he wanted to go out. And it became an incredible lesson for me because my mom actually passed away 8 months later from breast cancer.
Wow. Yeah, we're aware of that.
And it taught me how to handle it, and it wasn't as if he was just totally fine about it and thought that everything was rosy, but just the way that he handled himself and the way that he took the news and everything else was a big learning tool for me of how to deal with that kind of stuff.
You know,
I don't know how I would have dealt with it.
You don't mind me asking, only because your dad was a popular, famous guy who a lot of people looked up to and especially admired him towards the end. I don't know of your relationship with your dad. Towards the end, when your dad was facing this, was it one of those things where you guys were closer? Were you close before that? Did this bring you to a new level of closeness?
Well, the thing about it that was actually a really, really touching part of the whole experience was that when he first told me, there was the initial shock of it and just trying to deal with the news. And then we had that conversation where we were ready to discuss anything that we hadn't discussed before and have that open conversation, and we realized that we'd already done that's our relationship for a long time, and so we were able to just kind of go back into our regular father-son mode and enjoy that and not really dwell upon things that weren't said and things that weren't done, because we
at all. I wanted to ask you about the album itself, and I don't know whether this is a difficult question, whether you can even answer it or not, but your dad, is there any particular track on this album that you think your dad would like more than others?
Well, I know that he was really touched by Dylan's performing the songs, and he got to see Dylan perform at the Wiltern in Los Angeles, and that was a big moment for him. I think that, like, Dylan and Springsteen and Henley and guys that he knew for a fact exactly have, like, free time just hanging out anywhere, and for them to be involved, I think would have been.
Let's take just a second here of Don Henley. The album's called Enjoy Every Sandwich, The Songs of Warren Zevon. Get it at Amazon.com, Tower, you get it everywhere. And it's first cut on the album. Don Henley, Searching for a Heart.
Shadows on the lane. Seven individuals are sticking with the plan.
God, he does a great version of this, doesn't he?
Second one I've heard, and I like both of them.
Yeah, my favorite song.
Searching everyone.
Jorge Calderon that came up with that arrangement.
You can't stop.
Let's just let it go for a second.
You can't stop it with a gun. Leave it in the evening.
Hey, dude, your dad really, I mean, this shouldn't be about your dad. You're your own guy, but it's a song with tribute to your dad. Your dad wrote incredible freaking lyrics and put music together that touched people. And I hope you know that. Your dad was eccentric, and he was a risk taker, and he was cool.
Yeah.
At least I think he was cool. I know you do.
He was cool. He was also a very hard worker. I had a writer's block for a couple of years that thank God is finally left me, but part of the process of that leaving me was taking his advice when I said, I'm really having trouble with these lyrics, and he just said, son, it's hard, it's not easy. I think The Wind was the only record that Dad had more of a just creativity, and lyrics were kind of flowing through him because of the situation, but otherwise he would work very hard at it, and you'd walk into the dining room and there'd be little balls of paper thrown all over the place, and he'd be sitting at the typewriter, and he had to hammer and pound out a lot of those songs. So he cared about his job. He took it seriously, and he didn't see it as just, oh, I'm a rock and roll guy, and just kind of breeze through it all. And he would practice hard for any show that he would ever play, and he would focus, and you could just see him getting into that mode of work. So he really worked at it. He wanted to be that good, and he wanted those songs to be that.
You know, Jordan, hearing you talk about your dad like this, I like to believe that everybody that's gone before us is up there looking down here, and I got to think your dad would be just thrilled, not only at what you've done with this album, but hearing what you say about him. I think that's just terrific. I really do.
Well, I hope so. I think that he trusted me. There was a period where, before he passed away, there were decisions that the label was asking for and different things, and he just, whenever I try to consult him, he'd say, I'm tired. This is what you have to do. This is your time to do it. So he kind of passed the torch of all this work that he'd done over to me and my sister Ariel, and I think it was his way of saying that he trusted, we'd learned the lessons and knew what it was all about.
Well, we thank you for your time. The one thing I have to ask you now that we've gotten all past that stuff, with all these great people on this record for your dad, as you mentioned, Don Henley, Springsteen, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, Wallflowers, you're on this thing singing, how did Adam Sandler end up on this record? Really, how did Adam Sandler end up on this thing?
Well, it started with Waddy Wachtel, who's an unbelievably good guitar player, and really, with my dad, they kind of started their careers together. They were in the Everly Brothers band, and all my dad's early demos, you know, the incredible solo on Werewolves of London is Waddy, and so we had him participate in the project, especially on Werewolves, because he was one of the original guys, and he's also been the band leader for Adam Sandler for a long time, and I knew that Adam was actually a really talented musician and vocalist and could easily carry a song.
I didn't know he had a band. I knew he did Opera Man. I knew he was Opera Man.
Sure, I didn't know he had a band.
Yeah. He's done tours. I think he's actually done like an HBO Showtime special or something like that where he plays a bunch of songs.
Well, I got to pay more attention.
Okay, well, listen, I'll just give this a second. I think we may have played a little bit of this when I got this earlier. It has a goof like Guess Who the Mystery Artist Is. And your dad liked Adam Sandler?
Oh, he would. I think if anything, this is the one that he really would have loved because it's so left field. And,
all right, right.
Okay, hold on. Here it is. Chinese menu in his hand. Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He is the water boy. I like him. Looking for a place only holds four. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Okay, now here we go. Werewolves of London.
That's great insight, man. I love that. Your dad would have liked Adam Sandler's version the best.
Well, Jordan, you're a good guy. Thanks for coming on the show. We'd like to have you on again. Your dad touched all of us. The album is Enjoy Every Sandwich, the songs of Warren Zevon.
Great talking to you, Jordan. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
All right, dude. See you later. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Bye.
Man, oh, man. Dad's smiling at that. That's terrific. You know
who said it?
Jordan did.
Jordan did?
I didn't think it was appropriate to play it at the exact time.
Thank you.
Under what... Next.
Because Dad was at the typewriter hammering and pounding out lyrics.
Okay.
Thank you for not making Jordan part of the OCD of this show. I mean, he's everything.
Click, click, click.
And there it goes. All right. So anyway.
I like that album, man. I'm going to get that. Well, I'm putting that on my list.
There you go, Mike.
Hold on. You got it? You've listened to it already?
Yeah, I've legally burned myself a copy. So
there you go. That's,
thank you. That's great. That goes right into the old machine.
That's for you. And Buzz?
Yes.
Well, there's always Christmas for you, Mike.
That's right. I'm putting it on my list.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just got off the phone with Tom Mercado from the Budget Committee. This thing with Favre screwed up, Pooch.
What? They can't lump us in with that Martian?
We're all in the same boat, fellas.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh. Oh.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
God hates the lazy, but he loves the Don and Mike Show.
Here we go with a station break. Fresno, California, 105.9 FM, The Edge. Tampa Bay, 1010 WBZZ. Iowa City, Iowa, KCJJ. And in Buffalo, 92.9 WBUF. Tight! Before we get to the next thing, Rob A., would you please do as Rip Taylor instructed you when he phoned you this morning?
Yes. Well, first the phone rang, and I picked it up, and I said, hello, and I got Rip Taylor. I said, hi, Rip, how are you? He said, make sure you tell everybody to watch Will and Grace tonight.
He's on it?
Yes. Now, here is NBC, 8:30 Eastern.
Here's the synopsis of the episode. Fans who can't wait for Alias to return can get their Victor Garber fix tonight on Will and Grace. He plays the has-been star of an old Coco commercial that Jack loved as a child. Jack signs him up as the spokesman for his gay TV network, a job already coveted by
Rip Taylor. I like the premise.
So Rip said he will play himself, and he's very, very excited. He'd like it to be a recurring role, naturally. So everyone, please watch Will and Grace on the National Broadcasting Company.
Very good.
And anyway, Rip Taylor will be on tomorrow.
And how does he, when he calls you, Rob, and you pick up the phone and you say hello, what does he say?
Rip Taylor. So and then he'll also say, you're a starter.
You just pick up the phone and you go, hello?
Yeah, and the caller ID is blocked, so I really don't know who it is.
You go, hello?
Yeah, and he's Rip Taylor. And you know what? He's very nice. Sometimes not easy to get off the phone.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, he likes to talk.
That's fantastic.
He's in Las Vegas.
You should put him on with Carrie some morning.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? The whole network would
Rip Taylor.
Hello, Carrie. This is Rip Taylor.
We're going to try a little Isn't That Something and How About That.
Ah, very good.
Now, I'm going to ask you to please let them come naturally. And Buzz,
yes?
I would like you, if you have a moment,
sure,
to keep count.
Oh, I'd be happy
in the other
to.
Room.
Yeah, okay. It'll be fun.
It's not a competition to see who can get the most in.
Yes.
Okay, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
You guys?
Well, let's see if we can do it. Okay. See if we can do it without, like, ruining.
You want me to bring a mirror in here?
I'll give you the crown on it. I just think if
no, I'll let them come naturally.
If between the two of us, in a brief interview, right, we can get a total of 50, how about that, that something in? Yeah. I think that's the goal we're going to be shooting.
You can do it.
Now
see, my challenge here is to do it more naturally, and I don't think of it as a competition. I normally don't think of it as a competition when we do it without you saying what you just said. I think that it shouldn't be considered a competition.
But I think we should try to get at least get it in at least 50 times.
Oh, that's tough. Okay, now is it both phrases that we get to get in?
Yes, it is.
All right.
So it's you and I working together.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
And how about that?
Here's our setup for how about that? Isn't that something?
Okay.
It's from Cleveland. Now, who doesn't have all the coins that are sitting around that you take into the machine at the grocery store and it gives you money?
Right.
So, this guy named Eugene Suki.
Eugene.
He spent decades saving all the coins in his basement. Tuesday, he took them to the counting machine at his grocery store.
Counting machine.
1.4 million pennies.
Wow.
An unbelievable sight with hundreds of cardboard boxes with penny rolls organized by year. That incidentally comes to $14,000.
That's serious money.
Now the grocery store couldn't just give him $14,000.
No.
They had to send him to the company Coinstar that makes the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Coinstar takes like an 8-9% finder's fee.
Right.
But the guy ended up making more than $11,000 from his pennies.
Wow. Very nice.
And now that you've heard the story,
it's really something.
How about that? We're about ready to start.
Isn't that something? How about that music?
That's a theme song. That means we're going to play. Isn't that something? And how about that? As we welcome to the Don and Mike Show from Cleveland, Eugene Suki. Hi, Eugene.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Nice to hear you. Eugene, can you tell me something? How many years had you been saving pennies?
Well, this group here since 1970.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
Man.
Not like saving, you know. People say, oh, how could you save that much? People would bring me pennies and I'd buy them. It just, you know, then I would save them that way.
How about that?
It just is an idea that changed in my pocket. This, people would bring me, this one lady every spring would bring me a coffee can full.
Isn't that something?
Yep, and right,
we'll work on our timing here, Mike.
I have a question for you, Eugene.
Yes, sir.
How much space did these pennies take up in your basement?
Okay, a space about 4 foot by 2 foot by about 7 foot high.
How about that?
And man, that is something. I can't believe it's that small. I would have thought that it would be a bigger amount of space with that many pennies, $14,000 worth of pennies.
Well, this was approximately 570 cigar boxes.
Eugene, how did you get all of? Oh, how about that, Eugene? How did you get all of these boxes of pennies to the local grocery store?
Coinstar came over and picked them up.
So Coinstar. Each box, each box weighs how much with all those pennies in it?
I don't know. I never weighed them. I know it's heavy.
I mean, was it so heavy that you couldn't lift it up?
Well, you can pick up one box. In fact, this one young fellow over there, he was carrying four boxes. If I carry two, that was too many.
Well, how about that? That's a lot of pennies.
That's
Eugene.
A lot of pennies, yes, sir.
Do you think that any of the pennies that you have, of the 1.4 million pennies that you had, do you think any of them were worth anything else?
Every penny was inspected by me before it was rolled.
Isn't that something?
Like I say, every penny went through my hand. And I think I only found, buying them pennies, I only got one Indian head penny out of all them pennies.
Only one Indian head?
Only one.
I said, how about that?
I used to go to the bank and...
I was trying to give you a spot, Mike. I'm sorry.
I'd go to the bank and...
Trying to give you the handoff.
Not your fault.
At a time. And
Eugene.
Yes.
Yes, Eugene, the pennies that you have, which are really something, did the neighbors come over and would you show your neighbors these? Would you get them a chance to come down to the basement and so they could say, how about that?
The neighbors never knew it.
Your neighbors never knew you had the pennies?
Isn't that something? How is it that your neighbors didn't know that?
Well, I'd bring them home in a car and nobody would see that I had them.
How about that? What about family members? Would any family members ever want to know, how about that?
My four daughters knew that because they would bring me pennies, them and the grandchildren.
Gotta be a statement.
And they would know that.
They would?
Yep.
How about that?
Did you clean them?
No, sir.
Oh, isn't that something? They must have been a little dirty.
Well, I think I got one jar, maybe 200 or 300 that, you know, are on the dirty side.
Do you fancy yourself a penny expert, Eugene?
No, sir.
No.
I just saved them. That was it.
How about that? Do you have dirty pennies?
Dirty?
Yeah, I mean, were you, you know, old ones where you can't see Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, some of them are that bad. Like I say, I got a container, like maybe 200 or 300 in there.
If you had Eugene,
how about that?
That's really something. If you, Eugene, if you had a pair of like those loafers, penny loafers, would you actually pry the pennies out of them to put it into your collection?
I never thought of that.
Isn't that
something?
I did
that when I was younger. I'd put a penny in there, but now that when you're 79 years old, you don't think of anything.
You're 79.
How about that?
Isn't that
79 years old?
29th of this month.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
In all those, no fair.
In all those pennies, were there any steel pennies?
Steel?
Yeah, from the war.
Yep, 43, yep.
How about that?
Isn't that something? 43.
I got three cigar boxes, of wheat pennies, you know. All of them before.
Isn't that something?
All of them before. You know, you don't get them. Everybody you talk to, they pull the wheat pennies.
How about that?
Out of the market.
Mm-hmm. So you also, besides getting Coinstar to give you the money, you had to pay them an 8%, 9% service charge.
Right, 8.9.
And then you had to pay them for the right to tell your story?
They're paying me.
Oh, how much?
That's something.
How much are they paying you?
I'll probably break out $100 ahead.
How about that?
So I'm not really losing.
That is something.
They're using my story for advertisement for their company.
Have you come in contact with a lot of people who, like you, just save pennies and never think about going to the grocery store? People now come to you and say, do they say, Eugene, you're my hero?
Not too. I've got a few calls. It's mostly from radio stations, not too many individual people.
Oh, isn't that something with the radio stations?
Yeah.
How about that? All those disc jockeys calling you.
Oh, that's something. You can get a lot of radio interviews each and every day. How about that? Isn't that
something? Like Tuesday when we made the
right. Cheater, cheater, cheater.
Tuesday when we made the final count, this Coinstar, they had TV channels over there. There was five different channels taking pictures of me. And they had a bunch of the coins, you know, the last group I took in.
Oh, man.
So,
isn't that something?
Yeah, so they had all that. Of course, this is advertising.
Am I hogging it up?
Pardon?
No! This is fun.
Have you ever tasted the pennies?
No, sir.
They're coppery.
I'm not like that.
you're not like that.
Did you know pennies taste like copper?
Well, that's why I start cashing them in.
Yeah, how about that?
But remember, he doesn't clean them.
I hear about...
That's right.
2-3 months ago, we'll have an electrical storm.
Yeah?
And I told my wife...
An electrical storm?
Isn't that
something?
A
storm.
How about that?
Lightning and thunder. I told my wife, you know, we got 5 ton of copper in our basement. And
5 ton of copper?
Is that how much it adds up to, 5 tons?
Approximately.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
And to me, lightning and copper don't go together.
All right. Yeah, how about that?
Isn't that something?
So I told her I'm going to start cashing them in.
How about that?
So I cashed in. $2,800 just on my own, back and forth to this point, sir.
Isn't that something?
And finally I found a representative.
Cheater, cheater.
And I asked him if he would make a house call.
Uh-huh.
He said, if you have a few coins, we probably would.
How about that?
He said, so far the biggest one we've ever had is $7,000. So I said, well, how about $11,000 pennies?
Isn't that something?
He said, I'll get back to you.
You know, I once, Eugene, swallowed a penny. How about you?
I might have as a kid, but man, I can't even swallow an aspirin. Now, how in the world would I get a coin in my mouth?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
If I take medication, it has to be a pill, and a pill that I could chew, so.
How about that? Right, how about that?
Isn't that something? Uh-huh. Isn't that something?
I take capsules, so whenever I go to a doctor, no capsules.
Eugene, now that you brought 1.4 million pennies to a grocery store and
I still can't get over that. How about that? 1.4 million. Pennies, isn't that something?
How is it changed? Well, how about that?
How about that?
And they were all rolled, and they were all by mint mark and year. Like if it was,
isn't that something?
If it was a 1980 penny, it would either be all plain or all B. They was all separated. Each box that I had was numbered.
You're a cheater.
And I had a book. And
you know what you're doing? You're double clutching.
I can tell you what box and what coins are in each box.
This guy's still going. I've not turned the microphones to where he can't hear our voice. Eugene is still going through all of this.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
$14,000 buys a lot of chewable tablets. What will you buy?
Well, really, if I had needed the money before, I could have. This ain't like winning the lottery of fortune.
Right.
This was money I had.
Right. It's money you had, right? Are you going to buy anything special with it?
No, hell, my wife and I, we're too old for anything.
Oh, come on.
Eugene,
you can go out and enjoy yourself.
Well, we might go up to Detroit to the casino, maybe.
There you go. Let it ride, baby.
Take all that money with us.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
That's great. Let it ride.
Uh-huh.
If it was me, I'd buy a gun.
Isn't that something?
A what?
A gun.
Really?
I already got 4 of them hanging up in the basement.
Ah, ha, ha, he got you there.
That's something.
How about that?
I got an antique gun that belonged to my grandfather.
Yeah, I would kill myself.
A 12-gauge shotgun. It must be 80-some years old.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's really something. And
then I still got the 22 I had as a kid. My dad had cut the barrel down on it. I got that gun.
How about that?
How about that?
So wow. I got a couple guns.
Can you tell me something out of all the interviews you've done, Eugene, since you brought your $1.4 million of pennies to the grocery store in Cleveland and got $14,000? And can I just say, isn't that something?
That is something.
I mean...
How about that perseverance? How about that?
How about that? Eugene?
It's a good thing they came to pick him up, because I don't know how in the world else. I was taking them like $25 a day to the store to cash them in.
So would you say that this is one of the better interviews that you've done?
It's a good one.
From our standpoint, do you think this is a good...
I enjoyed it.
Isn't that something? I'm glad you did. How about that?
Can I answer you?
Good.
Yep.
All right, sir. Uh-huh. Well, it's been very nice talking to you.
Thank you so much, and good luck with your pennies, and maybe you can start another collection.
I just want to say, every time I look at this story, I just want to scream.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
Well, thank you, Don, Mike, and Beth Ann.
Thank you, Eugene.
Uh-huh.
Oh, listen, Eugene, do you like the penny song by Lionel Richie, A Penny Lover, and also the song by the Beatles, Penny Lane?
And, of course, let's not forget more like your era, Eugene, Pennies from Heaven.
That's the one I like.
How about that?
All right, thanks for talking to us.
Okay, bye.
That's something.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Remember, let them come naturally. So that's the important thing.
Right.
It's not a competition.
Get bent, loser. You know, it wasn't a competition until you just started going, how about that, how about that, how about that?
It wasn't a competition until you said, let it come naturally.
Well, it was coming naturally.
Because it's been a competition. That's like saying, let's go play tennis, but close your eyes.
You know what's weird? Huh. Is you two aren't normally competitive like that.
Never. Not us.
Who saw that coming?
Buzz, on this initiative, isn't that something? How about that? Can you give us a total count for Mike and I? We had the guy on the phone for about 10 minutes.
I think you're going to be especially pleased, because not only did I track the number of times both of you said both phrases, I counted the number of times each of you said each phrase. Mike got in 57, either isn't that somethings or how about that. He did 32 isn't that somethings and 25 how about that. Don had 19 isn't that somethings and 22 how about that, for a total of 41 of the remarks. So Mike won 57 to 41.
Okay, I really thought, you know what? This is the truth. I thought you dusted me.
No, and I knew you were going to win because you were cheating.
Yes, he was cheating.
With all the...
Crazy.
How about that? Isn't that something? How about that? How about that? How about that?
I counted all of those.
No, I'm kidding.
I won't cheat next time.
Mike, you're the champion of how about that? Probably wear that crown on this show.
Trying to get it in. I did a couple of how about that? How about that? Oh, my God.
And how about him? How about him?
Yeah.
So at no point during that interview did you change the mic so he couldn't hear you talking?
No.
Well, he just kept going.
The whole time it was on, when I was saying to Mike, like I was saying, mm-hmm. scooping on Mike, saying you're cheating, you're double pumping. Yeah. The microphone was on and Eugene was still just barreling through.
Even after the subtle reference where you urged him to take his own life.
Well, that's how we do it here on Isn't That Something?
Yes, sir. Get a gun.
Now, who's calling here? Hello, Don and Mike show. We got a break. Hello.
Well, I was just wondering if Buzz counted the times that Mike said that is something.
Yes, I did. Yes, thank you. Variations were counted.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Isn't that something? Hello.
Wouldn't it be something if the man Eugene went to Detroit with his and went to the casino in a penny arcade and put a penny in and won all his pennies back?
Okay, bye-bye. That's not something.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to call and tell you that me and my buddy play a similar game with girls like that. Because he was...
tell us
keep
more.
Going. This is good.
Hold on. Yeah, you get some chime time on that. That's good.
Okay. What it was is there was this girl who was half blind, and we kept saying, hey, I don't see what you're talking about or something.
Oh.
And it was hilarious.
Yeah, had to be there.
Was that the catchphrase, I don't see what you're talking about?
Yeah, and she didn't get it.
Because she was half blind.
Yeah. And so every time we'd sit there and talk, it'd be like, hey, do you see that car over there? Isn't it pretty cool? Or, you know, something
like
that.
So any vision pun would count.
I
don't see your point.
Okay. Sorry.
Isn't that something? See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. I thought that had a lot more potential when he said, we used to play this game with a girl.
Why must they make fun of people? Why must people be cruel?
I don't know, Rob.
And I got your joke, Buzz. Yeah.
The call didn't. I think if it was, I see your point, I'm laughing. If you're going, your point, go, see that car over there?
Yeah. No.
Hold on, here's someone.
That's from a game called
very,
What Are You Crazy?
Very important. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, and Mike.
Yeah.
Hi.
You know, hey, Don and Mike, sorry, and Buzz.
Right.
You know that old coot spent $1,260 calling Coinstrike? Could have went to the bank.
I guess he could have. Isn't that something? All right,
yeah,
thank you.
But at 79, it would be difficult to carry the boxes in.
Well, he could have got his kids to do it.
Kids have passed away.
That's fine.
All right, love you guys, man.
See,
you
I love you, Rob.
You don't have to be cruel.
His kids are dead.
He didn't have to buy a gun after all.
No, he can use it, though.
Don't you go dying on me.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The home of hilarity, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to DonandMikeWebsite.com, give me a second to get this thing on the computer.
You're going to DonandMikeWebsite.com, where I have it on good authority. There's a fabulous store.
Let's see.
A store.
I'm talking to the webmaster today,
uh-huh.
And against my better advice, he's answering letters.
Oh, dear.
I got a thing about one of them. Here's one of the questions, and I didn't have the... Oh, would you pick that up? That's Nancy Yodel. Here it is. I want to know... Where is this? Hold on. Questions for Donna Mike. I've wanted to know this for years. What are the circumstances of the Get Off My Leg tape that Don and Mike play every so often?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
What is that from? And the webmaster, Tim, writes back, because he sent me an email.
Mm-hmm.
He writes, another good question we really can't answer. Who remembers where we got it? It's one of our oldest tapes.
I do.
Buzz got it from a news actuality.
Right.
And gave it to Don 12 years ago.
Wonderful.
Wow.
It was
a gay rights protest, right?
That's right. That's mm-hmm. exactly
See,
what
I
was.
Didn't remember what the protest was. The web guy calls mm-hmm. me, says, what is that? I said, I don't know. It's a riot tape that Buzz brought in like 12 years ago.
They were like chained in front of some vehicle.
Right? I always thought it was Paul McCartney's wife.
Thank you, Rob.
His new wife.
That's the one.
Right. Gotcha. He's not answering the letter.
So anyway, that's at DonandMikeWebsite.com. And, Mike, did you mention the store?
Yeah, Don, I did. Twice.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
How about that?
How about that? That's something.
Here she is now from Access Hollywood, Nancy Odell. Hey, Nancy, how have you been?
How have you been?
We've been great, and... Oh, I got to do the plug. Accent Hollywood, that's tonight, 7:30 on NBC4. Check your local listings around the country. You're on your way to a movie premiere right now?
I'm going to see Ocean's 12 because I'm past tomorrow.
I'm jealous.
So I will give you a sneak preview tomorrow. I will tell you before it even comes in theaters whether I think it's good or not.
I'm excited about that movie. I hope it's as good as we all think it's going to be.
I hope it is. I mean, but how can you miss with Brad Pitt and George Clooney and Matt Damon and Catherine Zeta-Jones and Julia Roberts and Andy Garcia and how many, you know.
And Elliot Gould and Carl Reiner.
I know we all love it.
I'm telling you.
Have a good time at that. Tell us tomorrow. Please tell me on tonight's Access Hollywood. You guys will be all over this T.O. thing, this moronic thing that is continuing.
Yeah, the first story is so interesting because just the whole, you know, moral thing that's going on in the country and everybody getting so upset. Now not only are they upset about the whole Desperate Housewives NFL Monday Night Football thing, but they're upset because of an episode of LAX in which Blair Underwood and Heather Locklear have this very steamy sex scene. I mean, you see a close-up of his face and he's going way down to her belly button and then goes a little further.
You little
wow.
Tart. You little sorry.
And yeah, so it's kind of close up. And we, indeed, have to warn our viewers before we show some of the episodes on our air.
Here's the thing that's so dumb.
You just got a few more viewers with that.
You have,
that's for sure.
You have to warn your viewers, yet NBC ran this show on Monday night.
This whole thing.
No complaints.
The country's going mad.
And I don't know if you guys are going to cover this tonight. From a purely sports angle, the most ridiculous, moronic thing that I've heard in all of this
is Tony Dungy of the Indianapolis Colts, who says this is racial because T.O. is a brother and Nicolette Sheridan is white, that he's drawing a parallel between Kobe Bryant and the white woman that accused him of rape.
I don't know where he's coming from on that. I don't understand.
What he is trying to claim is he's saying that he didn't like the fact that the sketch showed a black player who was considering skipping a game because a white actress pretended to stand before him naked.
Okay.
He said that he thought, well, this done, I'm quoting himself, he said he thought the skit helped perpetuate the stereotype that, quote, athletes are sexual predators.
Listen,
boy, I think everybody's thinking too much.
Shut
yeah.
up. I mean, say what you will about this FCC witch hunt. That's not racially charged.
No, and the thing is, it's really the whole, when we take something that's that insignificant and we blow it out of proportion, this is what happens. And I think it's nuts. I really think it's nuts.
So anyway, I hope you're going to tonight just have a fit on your show about that and scream and yell about how stupid it is.
You're
going to
do it during your editorial segment, right?
Yeah, I wish we could voice our own opinions. We can't. We just kind of have to present the facts.
Now, how is, you know,
in addition to that story, you got to see what else is in the first story. Did you hear about the nude anchor, the woman who went nude on her broadcast?
No, ma'am.
It was in Ohio, literally in Ohio.
Like a regular television station?
Yeah, like a local newscast. And she's doing this story on this impressionistic art kind of thing. People get nude to do this art. And so to cover the story, she goes nude. Seriously. And believe it or not, and this is why I think that this shows, as I was telling before, I don't think they mind all the controversy, because that newscast, like, I think they had maybe a 13 rating, and all of a sudden, like, they broke all records ever, and it was like a 17 rating.
Well, you might want to, you know, listen.
People tuned in, obviously, to see this local news anchor.
I know that your ratings are good, but,
yeah,
you know.
They could be better, Nancy.
We've never heard Nancy, even in her fan.
Would it not have been so funny if I'd come out in, like, a towel at the end of the program, and then I really had my clothes underneath, and I'm kidding.
I wish they'd let you do that.
All right, listen, you go to Ocean's 12 and tell us tomorrow how it was. And we'll watch you tonight on Access Hollywood. It's 7:30 just about everywhere.
Very good.
And let me just say, as always, you've been swell, my little hot buttered Parker House roll.
All right, here goes. I'm my little cool, creamy, caramel-filled, chocolate-covered, captivating, charismatic, crunchalicious, cherry-topped cupcake.
She blew you out of the water.
That beats a Parker House roll.
All right, you're the winner. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Nancy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. There she is, coming out of her shell from Access Hollywood.
She's coming to play on this little radio show.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her. She's good. Just, you know, just give us what you're going to have on your show, honey. And then, yeah, I think so, Mike.
Man, I like that idea, her in a towel. Yeah. Or maybe doing the thing with the Ohio anchor did. And, hey, wouldn't that be great if some of the anchors here in D.C. did it?
Yeah, you like Barbara Harrison?
Hey, Barbara Harrison and Joe Crown.
Now, that's indecent.
Nude.
How about Susan Kidd?
Oh,
how about J.C. Hayward without her wig?
How about Liz Crenshaw?
Oh, that would look like from operation.
Listen, we talked with Nancy about this Terrell Owens thing.
Yes.
And I watched all of the ESPN and NFL shows today.
Did you see Dungy when he was making these
yes.
allegations?
I saw him. And Tony Dungy, first off, is he black?
Yes.
Mike, that's a joke.
I understand.
He's a light-skinned brother.
Rhetorical question.
I was just kidding. So, that's the first thing. Why is he upset?
I'm just...
He doesn't look black. I watched this, and it was an afterthought to his press conference.
Right.
He's talking about Peyton Manning and throwing 50 touchdowns, and he's leaving the podium, and then he comes back and he says, oh, yeah, now this is Tony Dungy. He's a pretty soft-spoken guy.
Yeah, he's a mellow guy.
Says... Listen, there's something that really bothers me. It's this desperate housewives thing.
Right.
And my kids saw it, and it's a whole black and white thing. And it's not a black and white thing. And I think it's
what... Well, Nancy O'Dell just said something about perpetuating the stereotype of athletes being sexual predators. I think it's perpetuating the stereotype of athletes being like sexual guys, which has been done for a million years since the days of Joe Namath.
And I think another one of the things that he had said was, well, you wouldn't see Andy Reid or Bill Parcells doing that.
Of course
not. And the point is, you would see no coach in the National Football League doing that.
Right.
However, you could get a player like Brett Favre. You could get...
Sure.
And I'm talking white players here. You could get Brett Favre. You could get Kurt Warner. I don't care. You get Peyton Manning. I don't care who you get. You could get a white guy and have him do it, and it would same difference.
If anything, I think it's a little racial by making that statement. Because what does that mean? You're supposed to get a black actress to play the role, or get a white a white player with a white actress? I mean,
right.
If anything, it's not. I really, and I believe this with all my heart, that when they were making that, I don't think that the whole racial thing ever even came into it.
No, just a normal guy.
I mean, it's a football player, and the fact that football players are sexual guys, I mean, that's a stereotype that's been around, and it's true.
And the last thing on this topic, this was a bit that was maybe 90 seconds long.
Right.
They're writing about this. Tony Dungy, here's the quote, didn't care for the idea that this skit showed a black player considering skipping a game while a white actress pretended to stand before him naked. Hello, Tony, this is me. Shut up!
Mm-hmm.
Coach your team. You got a great team. Shut up.
And the nature of the bit, isn't she kind of throwing herself at him?
Yes, she is. Yeah, and right. Okay. T.O. is the perfect guy to do that.
It was fun, you know. And why is T.O. used in this promo? Because T.O. is one of the hottest players in the NFL right now.
He wants to be an actor.
And I think that's what it's all about.
You could have.
But this is nothing.
You could have done it with Tom Brady. You could have done it with any number of players. You won't. I guess my point here is you'll never have a coach do something stupid like that. Now that Dick is gone, you'll never have a coach do something like that.
It just adds to what already is making a mountain out of a molehill with the whole indecency thing. It's just I saw a funny cartoon that was two mothers talking about their kid. Watching. Oh, she saw this, and I tried to get him to turn it off, but meanwhile the kid's watching a Viagra Cialis. Levitra commercial on the TV.
Yeah, I agree. It's nuts. It's nuts. It's Monday Night Football. It don't matter.
And in a lot of other countries around the world, seriously, now more than ever, they are laughing at us again because here we are with this. It's more uptight than it's ever been since I've been doing this show.
And then you've got Colin Powell's kid.
Oh,
saying, I wonder what Walt Disney thinks about this. Yeah. I've got news for you. There are bugs that are living in Walt Disney's frozen skull right now. Walt Disney doesn't give a frig what they're doing on Channel 7.
Walt Disney was frozen? I didn't know he was frozen.
He is, Mike.
Cryogenics.
Yeah. Right down as you get on the tram to go to Tomorrowland, that's Walt. And every time that you have a goofy sucker at Disneyland or Disney World, you're licking a little wolf.
But I think it's really important that Congress continues to relax the ethical standards for members of their own leadership. Yeah. And meanwhile, we get all uptight about indecency. This country is a little out of whack right now.
Bully.
A little.
Bully.
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 All right, that's it. And yes, Walt Disney is dead and frozen, and he doesn't care.
Oh, that's right. You always said he's turned into a popsicle.
He'll be back.
That's right. Yeah. He's in Suckers. And
a Waltsicle.
That's it. He's in like the creamsicle. There's a little bit of Walt right in the middle of every creamsicle sold at Disney World.
You can also see remains of him in Pirates of the Caribbean. You have to look careful.
Yeah, those aren't animatronic dummies.
Now listen, I would like to tell you, you just gave me a beautiful segue about Pirates of the Caribbean, that Johnny Depp is not the sexiest man alive. Who cares? It's Jude Law. He's the sexiest man alive, according to People magazine.
He doesn't do it for me.
Me neither. Johnny Depp
Rob,
better.
He's your guy?
Followed by, now listen to this lame list.
Those eyes see right through me.
Okay.
Orlando Bloom. Now, is this the 7-Up guy?
No.
No.
Who is Orlando
Bloom?
He's an actor.
Okay. Well,
what's he on?
I don't know.
Then you have Johnny Depp, Usher, Ty Diggs, the guy that was Jesus in the Mel Gibson movie.
Diesel.
Colin Farrell. Some guy who's on the OC named Adam Brody.
Uh-huh.
Ben Affleck, of course.
God. Oh, come on.
Matt Damon, Don Cheadle, Jimmy Smits, James Denton, who's the plumber with the ass crack on Desperate Housewives.
Oh, okay. All
right. Then Colin Firth and Matt LeBlanc and Brad Pitt. And that's
another list.
And that's just not important.
Orlando Bloom was also in Pirates of the Caribbean, by the way. So you know.
This is important.
Yes.
There's been a kangaroo down by Port St. Lucie, Florida, that's been running around.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture here for you, Mike, of the kangaroo. You see that?
Yeah.
That's a big kangaroo that's been running around.
They're dangerous.
And they don't know who owns this kangaroo.
They can kill you.
They've captured the kangaroo.
Ah, good.
And they found out who owns the kangaroo.
Who owns it?
Vanilla Ice.
Right.
Fantastic. He has not come forward to claim his animal.
That's a Van Winkle kangaroo?
Yes, and the animal's name is Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, God.
And he, of course, was featured in many of Vanilla Ice's videos.
Of course. Robbie Van Winkle.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that he could afford to keep a kangaroo.
Oh, Rob, you're going to love this. Rob, are you a fan of Linda Ronstadt?
Yes.
I bet you will be now. Listen to this. Now, Linda Ronstadt did the whole thing. Remember when she was on stage and said, out in Vegas, and said, Michael Moore is great, and she got booed off the stage.
Right, and then they fired her, right?
Yeah, and she's another one that won't let this election thing go. Here's the quote from her. People don't realize by voting Republican, they voted against themselves. People are angry and frustrated. This is just like Germany before Hitler took over. The economy was bad, and people got kicked around. Now we've got a whole new bunch of Hitlers.
Ooh, now a lot of people feel that way.
Thank you. Well, you know, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Bush, and then there's Hitler.
I agree.
There's got to be at least...
It's not a fair comparison.
There's got to be at least two levels of separation between Bush and Hitler.
I think if people have those thoughts, they ought to keep them to themselves.
For one thing, Bush is a horrible speaker.
Lacks charisma.
And that's funny.
And built no good roads.
And hold on, I got more on Bush. And I do
get more on Bush.
More on Bush. So I'm sure everybody saw that thing yesterday at the White House where he's there with the turkeys.
Yeah, and he was wringing his neck.
The thing that, hold on. I think we know who Orlando Bloom is, but here is Emerson from Missouri. Emerson?
I'm from Portland, Maine.
Maine, I see. Okay.
Orlando Bloom was in the movie Troy.
Also, yes.
He was one of the princes.
All right, we got him in Pirates of the Caribbean.
The very, very masculine resume.
Yes, Orlando Bloom. That's certainly a wonderful sounding name.
I'll see you in Troy. Hello, Liz. Lisa.
Hi.
Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa with a list.
No, not with a list. I was actually just calling about your list of the sexiest men.
Yes.
Yes.
There were no black men on there.
Ty Diggs.
Usher.
Ty Diggs and Usher and Don Cheadle.
Oh, but, you know what?
But Rob appreciates the fact that you didn't think that there were any black guys on that list.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Don't forget, Rob says Hitler's not that bad. Hello, Rodney. Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, that would be Rob and Linda Ronstadt.
That's right.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, when you were talking about the Monday Night Football thing there, Don, I think I got to disagree with you some on that. Because in that production meeting at ABC, you know somebody was sitting in that meeting and realizing that the racial mix of those two people was going to spark this controversy.
Hey, listen, dude, I want to tell you something. This is why you're so wrong about this. Let me take you back 40 years ago when Captain Kirk kissed O'Hara, okay? That's when people were uptight about blacks and whites
getting together
on television.
They are, and they still are.
No, they are not. Mm. No, they are not. I'm sorry, you're disqualified. Get out of here. You're living like 35 years ago.
I don't doubt that there are some people in the country, in certain regions of the country. Thank you very much, that might feel that way, but I really don't. I think the average Joe that's out there saw this thing and was just kind of like, right. Yeah, there it is. It's T.O. It's a big football star.
Man, woman, cow.
And it's a big TV star, and that's it. What are we making it into? Don't create stuff when there's not stuff.
Hold on. Cliff, Don and Mike show. Hello, Cliff.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You mentioned whether or not he was the 7-Up guy. The 7-Up guy was actually Orlando Jones.
Oh, and is that the guy that was in The Replacements?
The bad
football movie with Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, and when I think 7-Up guy, I always think Jeffrey Holder.
Yeah, right.
Hello.
This is a cool enough.
Jeff, Don and Mike show. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Call about the list. You had one. This is actually for Mike. You had a list yesterday. You had one today. It's very scary. And I'm not kidding you this time.
That was for me, guys.
That's for you, Mike.
That's lucky me, huh?
I want you to know that's a demerit that Mike will not have to carry throughout
now
the show.
Thanks a lot, huh?
Now when we do our Jeopardy bit, Mike will have to be extra double funny to get over this hump.
I can't handle that pressure.
Good luck, Mike.
All right, see you, loser.
Thank you, Buzz.
Hold on. Oh, Bush. Bush, and I mentioned moron Bush.
Yes.
So yesterday he's there with these two turkeys.
you see him grab that turkey's neck?
I did, and he looked like he was not going to let go.
No, he's just like, look at that, kill it.
You did not see these on TV, and I'm not making these up. These were the jokes that George Bush told yesterday.
Good.
When he was with these two turkeys he pardoned.
This will be fun.
First, he pardoned the birds, spared their lives, and said, quote, now's really the time for healing.
Okay.
Here's his second joke. President Bush, how did you choose the turkeys whose lives you were going to spare? Here's his answer. It was a close race. You might say it was neck and neck. President Bush, how did you choose these turkeys? Well, it came down to a few battleground states. It was a tough contest. 527 organizations got involved, including Barnyard Animals for Truth. These are real jokes that the president used.
He's feeling cocky, isn't he?
And then he's got one that he thinks he slays and kills with.
Uh-huh.
And maybe John Stewart or somebody will have a tape of this. He said, last thing before he leaves, he comes back to the press corps and says, oh, and one more thing. There was a scurrilous film that came out. Fahrenheit 375 degrees at 10 minutes per pound. I'm not kidding.
Wow. It's like, doesn't it sound like they were written for us?
No, they absolutely were written for them.
Yeah. Fahrenheit 375 degrees at 10 minutes a pound.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm so happy and cocky. Yeah, kill them both, just for fun.
Goodbye, turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
Hello. Dave, Don and Mike Show. Dave.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, don't believe everything that you see, because there's no way that a black guy would ever go out with a white girl that skinny.
All right, thank you, my friend. Hello, Earl.
That would be one of the regions you spoke of. Right?
Don and Mike Show. Earl, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hey, I just want to let you know that the whole T.O. controversy has got me second-guessing my marriage to my black wife, so I will be divorcing her. Rob should be happy to know.
Yeah, there's somebody that understands making something out of nothing.
Call Rob.
Goodbye, turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
Call Rob. Call Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, right. She'll be at my house tonight.
Call Tony Dungy.
Fantastic.
Call Hitler.
Okay, you make that call.
They'll all be over at the Speewax listening to old speeches.
One more. Couldn't you picture that at Rob's house on Christmas Eve?
Yes. Yeah, just sitting around the old radio, listening to old audio tapes.
My personal collection.
Right.
Okay, I got one feel-good for you. And again, I have to say, it's not great because nobody dies.
All right.
Okay. But having said that,
yes,
there's a farmer who bought a big prize-winning pig. And he had big plans to breed this pig.
Okay.
There was only one problem after he bought the pig.
What?
The pig is a big homo. Now, the farmer, who's 43, his name is Galen Dobrev.
Galen.
That's almost like Gay Fokker.
Ironic.
From Meet the Fokker.
Hi, Galen.
So, he's suing the breeder who sold him the pig. He says, it's a disgrace. All the pig was interested in was other male pigs for homosexual love.
Oh, man.
Now, he has a strong case. He has lots of people who work in this farm, in this barn, willing to testify that this one pig prefers to have sex with male pigs.
Right.
And just to make sure he could prove his case, he has photos and videotapes of the pig having homosexual sex with other pigs.
That's normal.
Now, sadly, he cannot bring...
Can't say that.
He can't bring... Now, keep in mind, he's suing this guy. When Robbie writes you a prompt?
I'll show it to you.
Now, let me see it. What's it say?
From another day.
It's great. It's great. It is, but right.
Yeah.
Not today.
Won't see the light of day, but Rob,
not a good one. Not today, Rob.
Maybe in the box set.
Not today.
True, though.
Here's the end story on this one, is that the guy sues the guy because he says, the pig you sold me is a homo.
Right.
And he's
so it won't breed.
Yeah, he's going to take him to court. and he's got the videotapes, and he's got the pictures, mm-hmm. and he finally says, I'm going to bring the pig into court on the day of this trial, because I'm going to show the judge.
Right.
However, he never made it to court with the pig.
Really?
Because, in possibly the worst case of gay pig bashing ever, mm-hmm. he got so mad the night before the trial, he took the pig and ground it into sausages.
Yowza!
Wow. Sausages.
Hate the sin, not
now,
the sinner.
Now, the breeder, the guy that was being sued, he's mad because he said, hey, if this guy Galen hadn't come and hit my pig over the head and uh-huh. turned him into sausages,
right.
he was going to be a heterosexual pig.
Eventually.
That he was sexually mature. Mm-hmm. And he would have breeded with both boy pigs and girl pigs.
It's like I always say, if you're going to buy a pig, check its eyesight. It's a vision issue. That's all it was.
Oh, with the pig.
Yeah.
Like the pig needed glasses.
Sure. I mean, from a long distance, can you tell?
No.
Pig's a pig.
Right.
Glasses just make him look more gay.
Yeah, then you get up close, and, you know, before you know it, one thing leads to another.
Do you think the glasses that the pig wore looked anything like the glasses that Michael Hughes wears? I mean, we're talking about gay glasses.
Yeah, they're a hassle.
Got to break right here, everybody. We'll be back.
Okay. Is the Don and Mike Show. Here's a story about the wackiest, sexiest, fun-filled place to take your girl. The Groove Room. A place where lights flash, machines spark, and the people get more turned on than the electricity. The Groove Room. Somebody just had to invent a place like this. Take off your inhibitions and have some fun in The Groove Room. The Groove Room. Rated X for adults. From Independent International.
The Don and Mike Show. Inevitable.
Raise the comedy alert level to orange, because here's Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I was tighter than the flying nun.
Yeah.
Get right to it. Always great to have Todd Hughes come in the studio.
Amen.
Right as we're about to go on the air.
Yeah.
Always nice to have the general manager stick his big ugly face in here.
Sure.
Right when we're trying to do the show. And not realizing when I say, okay, we got to go back on the radio, uh-huh. he stands there and just continues to talk.
Did you notice his glasses were hidden in his golden locks?
Welcome to management, Mr. Hughes.
Did he have his glasses on his head?
Yeah, way up high.
I didn't see him.
That's a good look.
He's a little taller than we are.
That's a good look. Did you notice that he had the tennis sweater tied around his shoulders?
And he was wearing tennis shorts.
and a plaid Catholic girl skirt.
Underneath the shorts.
What's up with that?
With hard black shoes.
With big shiny buckles on.
Yeah. That was a weird outfit.
That's it. Oh, it's Thursday.
Yes.
And we all know what that means.
We all know what that means.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
All right, here we go.
It's time for Don and Mike to play the budget jeopardy.
Big movie star, macho man, Hugh Grant.
Hello. Hello, thank you for the kind words of being a macho man. I fancy myself as a macho man. It's great to be back on your show. Or as I affectionately refer to it as the bully room. Hello, Joe. Hello. Joseph Arlinger.
Yes.
I wished him well. He had a bit of a scrape on his cheek.
Yeah, he fell down a flight of stairs.
Yeah. Let's get retarded in here. I'm very fond of your program. I'm not fond of your bullying. And I hope that we can use this opportunity to come in here and enjoy a fresh start. So that, that we will not get into the silly commentary that you make when you comment always on my outfits, which
about,
I secret the last time that I was here.
What about your clothes?
I'd like to put that in the past, if there's any way we could, because the past is where it belongs.
Can we talk about your outfit today?
Yes, but I'd like to refresh your memory. Last time I was on the program, and enjoying myself rather nicely.
Yeah.
You delved into this dissertation, this bullying regarding my outfit. That it was a past program that we had, and you indicated that you didn't like it, and of course it drove me eventually to do something that I'm not fond of doing, and that is...
Was that you had to kiss a girl or something?
No, I had to cry.
No.
And I cried all the way home.
You are such a baby.
I cried all the way back to London.
You are such a baby, Hugh.
All right, I'll describe...
baby Huey.
You're bullying me again.
I'm not bullying you.
That's what you do. You bully all the time, and it's making me very upset.
Do you have on shorts today?
I am wearing my blue crushed velvet shorts. I have blue crushed velvet shorts on. Uh-huh. I have a ruffled satin shirt and a floppy bow tie. That's what I'm wearing. I'm wearing knee socks with my crushed velvet blue shorts, and I'm wearing knee socks and also black shoes with a silver buckle and about a 3-inch heel. And it's making me comfortable.
You look like a gay pilgrim.
May I throw a plug in for the upcoming film that I'm
doing? Oh, the chick flick you're in?
Please, scamper, Americans, out to the theaters and enjoy Bridget Jones' Edge of Reason. I think you'll enjoy it. We really do.
Did you like it?
I didn't care for her.
Why?
She gained a tremendous amount of weight. And although I know it's necessary, it's a necessity to the role that she's playing, it's not pleasant to be around a poor little fat girl when you're doing a show. I like them.
See what I've got
in
my
skinny, like Elizabeth.
See what I've got in my hand?
That's a paperclip.
I'm going to throw it at you as hard as I can.
Don't do that. There's no need.
I'm going to burn it in.
This is the same bullying thing that you did last time. All right.
Ready? Here it comes.
Ow!
Oh, it didn't even hit you.
It did. It dug into my flesh. I've got a flesh wound on my shoulder. I do.
You see what this is?
Yes.
What is this?
That's... oh, no. Don't throw that at me.
What is that?
Don't throw that at me, you dreadful human.
It's a Q-tip.
Don't throw it at me.
It's a Q-tip. Oh.
You've drawn blood. I know. Colin Firth was marvelous in the film.
Oh, there's a shock. Wow. You don't like Renee Zellweger, but you do like Colin Firth.
I like all of my female co-stars. I've worked with some of the very best. And I just should say that I think we can move by the outfit. This is an outfit that I wear that's very comfortable, and I love all of my female stars, but Bridget Jones, a.k.a. Renee Zellweger, was a tad, how shall we say this, to be as genteel as I possibly can.
Yes.
She was offensive.
In what way?
She smelled offensive.
And you...
The shoots were very long.
Yes.
The days were extraordinarily difficult.
She was carrying about 40, 50 extra
pounds.
She was
carrying extra weight. She, of course, part of the character that she was required to play was to look sloppy.
Now, Hugh...
And she was very dedicated to her craft.
I want to tell you...
And because she was dedicated to her craft, she maintained a sloppy demeanor.
You are being mean to Renee Zellweger.
London is a humid city. I should point that out.
I want to say something to you now.
I also have had a problem with odor before. As you can probably tell,
I'm going to say something to you now because you said all of these awful things about Renee Zellweger.
I'm not being awful, I'm being honest. There's a wide gulf.
Hugh, I'm going to speak to you now.
Yes.
In a way you'll understand.
Very good.
You're a crappy movie star. You're a crappy movie star. You're just a girly man.
Yeah.
You're a big sissy. Na 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 na.
I suppose if you had a basketball, you'd throw it at my chest and say, are you going to cry?
You couldn't catch it. You couldn't catch it. You're going to cry. You're going to cry. Call your mommy. Call your mommy. You're going to... Okay.
You did it. You did it.
You're dreadful.
He's blubbering.
Yes. I feel like Barbara Walters.
Why have
somebody
cried? I'm going to wear jeans next time. I tell them they wouldn't like the shorts. You're a dreadful evil creature. It's made me cry. It's no, I can't stop crying. No, because you've picked on me so badly.
So badly.
I want to cry until tomorrow. I want to cry through the night. I won't cease crying.
What if we made you happy?
I shall endeavor to cease this detestable boo-hooing. I'm so embarrassed. I feel like a tiny child.
Yeah. Okay,
but I can't stop you calling me those names.
I've got something that will cheer you up. It's a brand new copy of Glamour magazine.
Oh. Oh, jolly good. May I thumb through it?
Yes, here
Thank
you go.
You.
Take a look.
Thank you
him
so
right
much.
Off.
Oh, look at that.
That's a lovely front. Oh, that's dreadful. He's all better now.
I'm sorry, I'm not paying attention to the interview. Oh, thank you. May I keep?
Yes.
Cuddles.
Keep it.
Cuddles.
Keep it.
Cuddles and cockles.
Keep it so.
Cuddles and cockles for the Glamour magazine. Thank you very much. I'd like to mention Bridget Jones, Edge of Reason,
starring Hugh Grant. Look forward. Oh, look, a meringue dessert cup. That's lovely. Fantastic. Marzipan, marzipan.
Can I get you?
Who likes marzipan?
Can I get you anything to drink? Jack and Coke, maybe some. What kind of whiskey do we have straight up?
We have Maker's Mark.
Maker's Mark.
Although at this evening time, when it would normally be appropriate for one to have a cocktail,
yes.
I was wondering if you could perhaps whip something special up.
Sure. What would you like, Hugh?
I'd like a Brandy Alexander.
Oh,
with extra cream. Is that possible?
Brandy Alexander.
Could you put extra cherries on it?
That's a girl's drink. That is a girl's drink.
It absolutely is not.
Yes, it is.
It is not a girl's drink.
What? Well, listen to the name of it.
Brandy Alexander. Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
I love brandy and I love ice cream. And it's a combination of both and it's rather tasty and it makes me a tad tipsy.
What if we were to...
All right, if you must insist, I'll have a Zima and club soda. Thank you so much. Could I have that?
No, all you can
actually,
have...
Actually, I'd like a Red Bull and vodka.
Well, that's really... Uh-huh. I think that might be Mike talking now.
Just kidding. No, I'd really like a Brandy Alexander, and I want one now. And I'm putting my... I'm putting my hard-buckled shoe down.
Listen.
I like one now.
Listen, you yelled at me. You see this?
Yes.
What is that?
That's a paperclip. Don't... Ow!
Oh.
You've bruised me. You know I bruised.
I didn't bruise.
I have a reputation in Hollywood as being the actor who bruises most easily. That's why I don't even do difficult lines. I have a stunt reader because it causes me to bruise. When I have a very angry scene, I can't demonstrate it too much because the violence of even shaking my arms like I am now will cause my underarms to bruise severely. And I'll look like a terrible, evil banana. I haven't a single body hair, and I'm not happy. I'd like a Brandy Alexander, and I'd like some finger sandwiches, and I'd like them post-haste.
All right, can we get him his fruity drink?
And some finger sandwiches.
And get him some of his retarded English finger sandwiches.
And I'd like the finger sandwiches toasted. Toast points with thin slices of whatever lunch meat you happen to have, but not bologna. I don't wish to have bologna, simply ham. Ham or turkey would be acceptable. And, of course, if there's a chance, I'd like cucumber with watercress on my sandwiches.
Of course.
Because it makes them extra crunchy. And they go very nicely with my Brandy Alexander or my Zima and club soda.
You know, we have somebody new on the show since the last time you were here.
Who would that be?
Have you met Beth Ann McBride?
I have not.
Well, listen.
Love to. She's delightful.
I think you'll like her.
Nice.
She wears Christmas sweaters year-round.
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Oh, no.
Hey, B.A., this is,
Hello, Beth Ann.
This is, Hugh Grant.
Hello, Hugh Grant.
I understand you wear Christmas sweaters year-round.
I'm sorry, what?
You wear Christmas sweaters year-round.
Well, Christmas shirts, yes.
Are you in the building?
Yeah.
I'd like to see you. Could you come to me, please?
I will. Hold a second.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'll be the judge of whether those are... inappropriate outfits or not.
All right.
There's a lot funnier show happening off the air than on the air right now.
Oh, thank you.
No,
oh, very good. Now let me say.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, what? What's wrong?
You're wearing denim. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's very attractive, but unfortunately she's wearing a totally inappropriate frock. She needs to wear... Where are the skirts in America these days? You're all wearing pants.
Yeah.
Why must you always wear pants?
Well,
you could wear culottes like I do.
Right.
Yes. I would like you to wear something. I'm going to send you something. I'm going to send you a skirt from the finest designer.
Oh, well, that would be
say.
Nice.
And I have a great deep pocket and I will be able to take care of that. Why aren't you looking at me? Look me in the eye. What is the matter? Why are you laughing at me?
I've got an idea.
I've hurt
already. He has hurt me already and now you're laughing.
I've got an idea.
And you are too.
Yes, well, a little.
And what is that you're wearing? That's a ghastly white sweater.
Well, it's just a white sweater.
It's all of 1970.
I'm
so upset right now, but I'm cramping.
How about arm wrestling right now, you, Hugh Grant, against Beth Ann McBride?
Gladly.
No upper body strength.
I do.
Okay.
I think we're going to win this one.
Okay.
There we go. Hold on. Let me get my...
She's going to...
There we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay. Now... I'm excited about this one.
Okay.
I'm feeling good about this
athletic competition.
I'm feeling good about this one.
Okay.
Now, right, Batman, don't squeeze his hand too tight.
All right, okay. You're going to give us the three count?
Ow!
What the
hell? Ow!
What happened?
Sorry. There's no need to squeeze, darling.
I barely touched your hand.
Give us the three count.
Okay.
Okay.
Three, two, one, go.
Hugh Grant is down
on the floor.
Hugh Grant is on the studio floor.
He's on the floor.
Rob, can you help him up?
No, don't touch me, you horrid little lamb. Get away from you, you horrid little lamb. I don't want to talk to you or see you any longer.
Okay, bye.
I've broken something.
He's hurt. Oh. Hugh Grant.
Call the ambulance.
He didn't break anything.
Rob, can
call
you help?
The carriage.
Hugh Grant.
Call the carriage. Call the carriage. I must be away. Call the carriage. I fractured my femur.
You did not fracture your femur.
No, you did not. How do you know? You're far away from me.
A girl just
You've made me cry.
A girl just
She's not a girl. She's a horrid little lamb.
She threw you down on the floor.
She's a beastly woman with unbelievably overstrength upper body. She called the medicinal carriage. I wish to see the doctor.
Get your ass back
Please.
Up in the chair.
Call Dr. Jekyll.
Get your ass back up.
You must climb him before he turns into Mr. Hyde.
Climb back up there, Q.
Oh, what a horrid girl. I wish never to speak with her again.
Probably for the best.
She's terrible. I require a pain tonic now. Bring me some leeches. I wish to have leeches.
You want leeches?
I need a good bleeding. Help me.
You want the leeches?
Don't really transport. I've got a lot of period pieces. I always enjoy that. Period pieces.
Do you want the leeches brought in your carriage?
Yes, in the carriage. In a wooden bowl. Oh, I'm just terribly upset right now. Mm-hmm. She's wretched. What a wretched creature that was. Throwing me to the ground without any concern for my safety whatsoever.
Well,
and it's your fault, Don Geronimo.
I feel bad. I think we should see how you feel. Would you mind taking your temperature?
Of course. Okay. Just one moment.
All right, there's the thermometer.
No need.
No,
here we are.
What are you doing?
No need for you to dwell on that. You asked me to take my temperature. That's what I'm doing.
Where did the thermometer go?
No need for a thermometer.
I don't see it in your mouth.
I am 98.7.
Oh, put that down.
Call a bobby and arrest that trollop. She assaulted me, and we were simply playing a little hand game. It was arm wrestling. I'm familiar with your American arm wrestling, and what she did was throw me to the ground. Dreadful. She's dreadful. She's wretched. She's a beastress.
And you just took your own temperature.
I did indeed. Of course, no need to roll your eyes at me. I'm a perfect 98.7. I can always tell with this hand. Everything's wonderful.
It is.
Terrific. Wow. I have a gift of that. Wow. I come from a long line of grants who were in the medical profession. I'm actually able to gauge the temperature by my own touch.
Hey,
my sense of touch.
Hey, you.
Yes, hey,
see what
you.
See what I've got here?
That's a paper. You're not going to do that to me, no. Oh, dear.
I'm swatting it up into a ball.
You're going to throw that out?
Yeah.
No.
Fake you out. No! Now what?
It hit me with such force that I believe that you bruised my heart. My grandpapa was an apothecary. An apothecary.
Your grandpapa was what?
An apothecary.
What's an apothecary?
I don't know. I just read it.
Ask the boy with the bulge of brain.
What's an apothecary? I don't know how heavy it is.
He's a chemist. Thank you. Virginia Commonwealth University, slightly more qualified.
An American university
during those years. Oh, I feel so lightheaded. I fear I shall faint. You don't wish for me to faint. I've asked for a carriage, a Bromley Alexander, finger sandwiches, toast points. That's all I require. That's all I require. You've made me act like a baby. You've made me act like a little baby. And when you threw your bowl of a piece of paper,
yes.
It whisked by my throat, opening, I believe, a vein.
I don't think it opened a vein.
I believe it's a rather severe paper cut. May we put this all in the pot?
No. Yeah, okay, we can put this in the pot.
If you can find it in your heart to bring me back into the fold without continuously mocking me, I will and will forever be yours.
Okay, well then
I also require tuckles, bangers, and mash.
We need two people.
Very good.
To play Low Budget Jeopardy right now. We have no champion. Phone number is 877-365-3636. Is there anything we can get you to make you feel better?
If you're unable to adhere to any of my demands, simply bring me a plate of chips.
A plate of chips.
A plate of chips.
Like Lay's potato chips, Doritos.
Don't make this thing sexual. I simply want a plate of chips.
I asked you if you wanted Lay's potato chips.
What are the brand names? I don't know. Everything is about branding in America. I simply require some fried potatoes.
Okay, we'll get chips. Okay, right.
Preferably fresh with malt vinegar. Thank you. You Yanks call them fries. It's dreadful. Fries.
French fries.
I don't understand that. It makes me ill every time I hear it. They're chips. Isn't it so nicely? Wouldn't I? Would you like some chips with your meal? No, French fries. And we despise the French as well as you.
I'm going to send you a note.
It's disturbing me greatly, just even being here.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Not as disturbing as that sweater you're wearing.
Here is...
My God, man, once you get to the Swiss Alps...
It beats the culottes.
It's ski season.
I've just received a telegram for you.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and I won't throw it to you.
May I read it?
I will hand it to you.
Be careful.
You would read it from everybody.
Let me read it. I will read it.
It's a telegram.
You are a sissy.
Oh. Oh. You did it to me again.
You did it. You tricked me. That was not a telegram.
No, it wasn't.
That was some dirty, filthy thing that you wrote specifically for me to read out loud.
That's right.
To read aloud and embarrass myself. And I haven't received any toast points, finger sandwiches, or Brandy Alexander. Okay, and I require an alchemist.
And that again is?
An apothecary. I don't know.
Okay.
It's too deep for me. Stop writing those big words.
Listen. Would you like a lovely violet?
I believe I bruised. I think I'm hemorrhaging.
We're going to break now.
Yes.
We're going to get you some lovely violets, get you some Brandy Alexanders, mm-hmm. get you some toast points.
And perhaps we could get a paramedic.
Or...
Just to lift my legs up. I have no feeling in them. And they're badly bruised. When you called me a sissy.
Well,
no.
Listen,
well, it's true.
If the telegram fits.
Oh, I would like a blonde male EMT.
Of course.
You might call them an emergency medical technician.
Okay, we'll be right back with you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You think your expulsion from England is a repudiation of rock and roll?
You know, y'all would have lost the war without us. You just think about that.
What do you all think?
We've been beat up pretty bad because of this publicity. But Meyer and I love each other, and we mean to keep it that way.
Jerry, looking ahead, don't you think your popularity will be diminished at home?
Back home, they take a different view of this sort of a thing. I expect a great reception when I get back there. My fans will understand.
Do you have any final words for England?
Yeah. England can kiss my ass.
The Don and Mike Show. They can provide storage of the troublesome spouse, yeah. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What's wrong?
I didn't want that piece of tape.
Hmm.
Well, that's dreadful.
You mean this one?
England can kiss my ass.
Thank you. That's very lovely. Lovely. Thank you. Insult my homeland.
Did you,
England can kiss my ass.
And I was already visibly shaken.
Did you get your Brandy Alexander?
I'm sipping it now.
Did you get your toast points?
Toast points, I hear. Everyone's been there taking care of me.
Now.
That horrid little lamb took care of me.
Beth Ann?
Yes. Everything's fine.
I'm going to tell you something now, and I don't want you to flip out.
Are you going to hurt me again?
No, I'm not.
Please, no.
Gracious.
Your toast points?
Yes.
That is Wonder Bread you're eating.
I'm going to be sick.
Oh, no, you're not.
I am going to be sick.
No, you'll be fine.
I'm going to throw up.
It's Wonder Bread.
You'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
White Wonder Bread.
Oh, that's ghastly.
Made in America.
The mass-produced thing?
Yes.
That horrible rubble you sell in your grocery store?
That thing that has all of the little balloons on it and...
Not bread.
Build strong bodies.
That's made with chemicals. It's made with awful... Oh, it's terrible. They toasted it and I couldn't recognize
right.
it.
Yes.
Oh, I'll make it through. I'm still shaken.
And one more thing.
The experience has been rather tawdry.
You know those tarts you wanted?
Yes.
And you know those, what was it?
Lemon tarts.
And you wanted pate?
I wanted pate
okay.
before I got my toast points. That's why I needed them.
Okay.
They didn't bring me the pate.
In the lemon tarts?
Yes.
That's Jell-O pudding. It is. Now, don't throw up.
Don't throw up. He's turning green.
I need a bucket. I seriously do. Jell-O pudding.
Jell-O pudding.
Mm-hmm. What is the crust made of? What have you made of crust? Oh, almonds.
Oh, delightful.
No need to tell me. I like, this is one of your mass-produced products.
Yes.
It's real. Blue Diamond Smokehouses.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is
that? With just a very nice smoky flavor.
Now, why is that okay and Wonder Bread is not?
Because this tastes like London. It really does. It's tasty. I like this. Now I feel all warm and fuzzy.
The crust?
plus the Brandy Alexander's starting to take effect.
Sure.
I don't mind telling you.
Before we play the game, the crust.
That's a handsome sweatshirt you're wearing today.
Down boy.
Just kidding.
The crust on those tarts?
Yes, on the tarts. The lemon tarts.
It was Crisco and Bisquick.
Oh! Dreadful!
Good, huh?
Why did you simply pour petrol down my throat?
Okay.
That's disgusting.
Oh, you mean gasoline.
Petrol.
Gasoline.
You say potato, I say potato.
All right. Hugh Grant, let's play.
That's wrong.
Let's play low-budget Jeopardy.
This is low-budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is our first challenger. This individual is an office manager from Alexandria, Virginia. Let's say hi to Leon Terry.
Hey, hi there, Leanne. How are you?
I'm doing well, LQ. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, Leon. And now entering the studio is a teacher from Wichita, Kansas. This is a man who has been teaching quite some time, I would imagine. He's 50 years old, and his name is Tom Tucker.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much.
Oh, we're going to have fun with you, aren't we?
Yes,
oh,
hey, we are.
Hey, Hugh. Yes.
Anglin can kiss my ass.
Stop it. Simply stop it right now. I'll have to put my foot down, and when I do, I'll bruise it. And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Chatley, Leon and Tom. Please don't screw.
Don't screw.
With LQ, and welcome Mr. Alex Trebek to Vladimir.
All right, thank you. And here you go, Tom and Leanne. Here are your categories, kids. They are celebrity shoe sizes.
Oh, marvelous. That's campy. I like that idea. That's why I love shoes. I have a large collection.
This week on the Don and Mike Show.
I'm afraid I won't be able to help you there.
This week's NFL starting quarterbacks.
Oh, boo.
Let's go shopping.
Let's do.
And how old are they?
How old are they? I'll never tell.
Here we go.
It's a secret. I've been at this game a long time, but I'm leaving it.
Celebrity shoe size. Oh, that's right. You're one of these jerks that's threatening to quit acting, right?
What a horrible thing to say. That's not necessary.
You'd have to start.
That's not necessary at all. And now it comes from your side as well.
Yeah, hey, where do you go?
I've never been in quite this hostile environment in my entire life. You know, I'm tired of the craft. I'm simply tired of the craft, and I'm moving on to other things. I'm going to model lingerie.
Let me just mention, the categories are celebrity shoe sizes.
Love-o.
This week on the Don and Mike Show.
Uh-huh.
Starting NFL quarterbacks.
Lovely.
Let's go shopping.
Let's do.
How old are they?
How old are they? I'll
never and Leanne, we'll start with you.
Good luck to both of you.
Thank you. Can we do this week on the Don and Mike for one?
Sure you can. We talked to this guy who did this for Star Jones.
Who is her hairdresser?
No.
Negative.
Tom, it's your chance to steal.
Who is marry her?
Negative. No. It was the guy that made the invitations for her wedding.
I think it's not too soon for me to say try harder, YouTube.
They were edible.
Leon, you're in control.
Don and Mike for two?
This week on the show, we drank soda that tasted like this.
What is turkey gravy?
Correct.
$2 for you, Leon. Select again.
The Don and Mike Show for three.
He is host of The Amazing Race.
Who is Phil Keegan?
You know, we'll give that to you because that's the way we screwed up his name. His name is Phil Kogan.
$3 for Leon. You must move on to another category.
How about Let's Go Shopping for one?
Let's go shopping.
Oh, yes, let's go shopping. The very idea makes me quiver with anticipation.
And what would you like to go shopping for?
I'd like to go shopping for something that I love to go shopping for.
What's that?
Shoes. Your American shoes. You get them all over the world. From all over the world, designer shoes. They're lovely. Pumps. Heels. I love them all. Men and women.
You know what I really wanted to do?
What's that?
If I could just come over to your side of the console for 1 second.
Oh, let's do. Come right over. Yes.
You're not going to hurt him, are you?
What do I have?
You just have a little hair out of place, right? If you just turn around for a second.
There we go.
Hey, Rob, see his underpants?
Yeah. Oh, stop it.
He's going to cry again.
You've given me one of your American wedges. You've given me one of your American wedges. Put me down. Take me down from the lump.
Okay.
You've suspended me from the lump. Cut me down.
Okay, you're down.
You nearly ripped my bloomers. Oh, man. All right, I'm ready to proceed. Leon, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
It's time for you to proceed. Please, hurry before they do something ghastly to me again.
Don't laugh. Simply select a category.
Oh, I thought it was Let's Go Shopping for One.
Let's go shopping. Here you go. This company is America's number one internet retailer.
What is Amazon.com?
Negative.
Tom, your chance to steal. You have no money, so you must do this to get on the board.
Yes, I must. And it is...
Duh.
No.
You at least got a guess, my friend. It's eBay.
Leon, you're in control.
Let's go shopping for two.
This company is America's number one home improvement chain.
What is Home Depot?
Home Depot, or where you go, Hugh, Homo Depot.
Oh, that's very lovely. That's not funny, and I am in pain, and you've bruised me, and I feel that I've been irreparably ruptured.
That was fantastic, giving you the wedgie and hanging you from the track lighting.
Funny. Thank you, bully boy. All right. Well, Leon, you're in control.
Let's go shopping for three, please.
This company is America's number one home electronics chain.
What is Best Buy?
There you go.
$3 for you, and you've got quite a sizable lead over Mr. Tom over there.
Let's blow it all with celebrity shoes for one, please.
All right, celebrity shoe sizes. Oh, this is a good guy. Oh, you like this one, huh?
I do. This is a wonderful category.
Tell you the celebrity, tell me what size shoe they wear. Nicolas Cage.
What is a 14?
My word. You must familiarize yourself. I've met Nick. They're not nearly that large. Tom, your chance to steal.
What is 11?
No, so you shouldn't listen to a sissy boy. He's a 13.
13.
13.
Yes, of course. Leon, select again.
Celebrity shoes for two, please.
Mr. Cage.
Beyonce.
What is a 6.5?
Oh.
Tom, your chance to steal.
What is a 6?
There you go, Tom.
$2 are on the board, Tom, and select again.
Celebrity shoes for three.
Colin Farrell.
What is 10?
Nailed it again. That guy got two in a row.
$3, and you're coming on strong, Tom. My shoe sizes are 9 and 7. Two different ones.
Oh, thank you for that.
Figure it out.
Men's and women's.
Of course.
What size dress do you wear?
I wear a 7. Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that.
What about your trousers? What's your waist size?
My waist size is 24, and I have an inseam of 37.
Wow.
Custom made. And my shirt size?
Yeah.
11.5 neck. 38 sleeve.
Wow. Like Beetlejuice at the end of the Beetlejuice movie when Michael Keaton's got the little head.
It fits me very well, sure. And it's tailored. All right?
You have an 11-inch neck?
An 11-inch neck, yes. Occasionally it can be tight or loose, depending on the fabric.
Uh-huh.
But normally an 11-inch neck, 11.5 sometimes, but usually an 11, and I wear a lot of ties. Ties extra small.
Do you wear scarves?
I wear blouses. Tom, you're in control.
I'm Tom.
Yes. How old are they, for one?
How old are they? Here you go. These are hard now, so good luck. He's a rock legend, and he's expecting a father. He's an expectant father, Eric Clapton.
What is 61?
Leon, negative. Your chance to steal.
What is 58?
Oh, Eric Clapton, Captain Clapton, is 59.
Tom, you're in control.
How old are they, for two?
Comedy legend, Jim Belushi.
What is 48?
Negative. Leon?
What is 46?
No.
Jim Belushi's 50.
50?
And 50.
Tom, you're in control.
How old are they for three?
I bet you're a fan of this guy. Literary legend Tom Wolfe.
Oh, yes.
Tom Wolfe.
Oh.
How? Yes. What is 62?
Guy, you got
Leon,
okay,
your chance to steal.
What is 71?
No, he's 74.
74.
74.
And he never looked better. That man can wear a suit. Also an 11.5 neck. Tom, you're in control.
NFL starting quarterbacks for one.
All right, here we go. Last category on the big board. He'll start this weekend for your Denver Broncos.
I'm a fag.
Leon, your chance to steal.
Fag. I'm with Tom Palmer.
What was that, honey?
Who's Jay Palmer?
Leon, where have you gone? Are you having some sort of an attack?
What is Jay Palmer?
No. What are you doing? On a speakerphone, honey?
No, I'm sorry.
Jake Plummer.
And Tom, you're in control.
Yes, we'll try it again for two.
Okay, come on now. Be a man. He'll start this weekend for your Washington Redskins.
No clue.
Okay. Leon.
Oh, stop it. Patrick Ramsey. Stop persecuting him.
She got it right. The girl got it right. It's Patrick Ramsey.
$2 for Leanne. You're in control. Select again.
Let's round out the category. NFL starting quarterbacks for three.
He'll start this weekend for your Detroit Lions.
Who is Eddie George?
Tom, you know, chance to steal.
She's such a girl.
Who's Bob Smith?
Bob Smith, no.
Oh, Joey Harrington.
I follow cricket. Leon, you're in control.
Oh, that's it. We're done.
Oh, we're done.
Yes, that's it. We're done.
Oh, joy. Oh, rapture. We're finished with the game.
And who's got what here, pretty boy?
Leon finishes with $11, and Tom, our teacher from Kansas, finishes with $5, both very much in the running.
You know, the whole time you've been on the show, her name is Leanne. It sounds like you're saying Leon.
No, it's Leon.
No. See, it sounds like you're saying Leon.
Must you travel down this dreary road again? Yes. I'm simply pronouncing her name as it was meant to be pronounced. We had a Queen Anne, and that's the way it's pronounced. There is a Lee and an Anne. It's quite simple. There's no need for the tutorial, is there?
It's Leanne.
Leanne.
Thank you. Thank you for Americanizing it for us.
My God.
And guys, here's your category.
Dreadful.
On Final Low Budget Jeopardy, good luck. And the category is, it's really healthy here. Okay, here's your category. It's really healthy here. And here's the answer. A new United States study shows in 2003 this was America's healthiest state, meaning they had the fewest colds, flu, death, and serious illness.
Hmm.
This state starts with the letter M. Okay? It's a healthy state, America's healthiest state last year, and your hint is it starts with the letter M. Don't forget to answer the form of the question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a selection of Hugh Grant veneers. That's right. You know, being from England, most of my adult teeth rotted and crumbled before my 13th birthday. When I chose a career in the theater, I couldn't get work with such a gummy smile. That's why a team of dentists came up with these beautiful Hugh Grant veneers. And I have them now, and you can have them too. They're made of English porcelain and just a hint of plastic for strength to cover up even the most hideously rotted choppers. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek-Geronimo.
Ah, so you got the fake teepers.
Oh, if I pulled these off, you'd be truly offended. Simply by the smell.
Let me ask you about your teeth.
Please do.
Did you get men's teeth or women's teeth?
A little of both. The front two are men. And if you'll notice in all of my films, the two on either side are actually female teeth.
Wow.
Modeled after a great smile of Ava Gardner. Thank you for asking.
Who do we want to talk to first?
I believe we go to Tom Tucker of Wichita.
Tom. Tom, it's a state that starts with the letter M, and last year it was America's healthiest state.
Giving it a shot, what is Montana?
No, I'm sorry that knocks you down to zero, Tom.
Negative. That means Leanne, or as Hugh would say, Leon.
Leon.
You're the winner if you've got the right answer.
What is Minnesota?
Winner!
And that means Leon, Terry, you of Alexandria, you are our low-budget Jeopardy champion.
Woo-hoo!
Ain't that something? And you know what? The other guy, I might have hung up on him. I don't know what happened to him. He's gone.
Oh. He's gone. He's left the building.
We'll get him back, though.
Very good.
And that means, Leanne, you win money, and we'll have prizes for the other guy. Now here is the very pretty Hugh Grant to tell you what you want. You,
Leon, Terry, here is your total. We double your score to $22. We throw in a bonus of $25 for a total of 47 American dollars for you to take home.
Woo-hoo!
Well, let me see if
£23. Bravo, Leon!
Let's see if we have Tom. Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, there he is. Sorry about that. My fault. My apologies.
No problem.
Don't go away mad. Just go away. Here's Hugh. Hugh?
Mr. Tucker, you've won a WDCA UPN WWE SmackDown Tough Enough Challenge Pack. Such violent terminology. Complete with a digital video player, the DVD collection of the rise and fall of ECW, and more. Watch WWE's live on pay-per-view presentation of Armageddon on Sunday, December 14th. I'm kidding, it's Armageddon. I know how to pronounce that. December 14th. Congratulations, Tom. Thanks so much for being here and playing the game.
I'm extremely immense in it.
That's wonderful. Thank you,
Tom. And Leon, thank you as well.
Thank you, LQ.
And I should point out to you, Leon, your cash is equivalent to £16, 8 shillings and threepence.
Oh, my pardon.
My pleasure. No problem at all. Let's go to the bad sweater.
Hold on. Now, wait a minute. You're there wearing an outfit that Buster Brown would throw up.
I stand by my crushed velvet blue short pants.
And Buzz has what appears to be a very nice...
American sweater.
Yeah, metrosexual type sweater. It's got some...
It's got a hideous design on it.
I like the pattern on that sweater.
I only care for cable knits. That's all I care for. Cable knits and tweed. It looks like he's a walking wedding cake.
He does.
Taters.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
He did it all.
He made it up.
The well-dressed Buzz.
Thank you.
Buzz, what is your lead story on news and comments today?
Today, another day in prison for Martha Stewart, sweeping out cells and making millions.
Oh, I should say to her, chin up. Keep up the good work. She's lovely. And she's so put upon.
She'll be fine.
Martha Stewart, I miss her. Indeed, I do. Don't throw anything. Oh, you've hit me with a Q-tip. And now I will definitely have a bruise.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. It's coming up next.
Yes, and it's very overly violent.
Hugh.
I must take my leave.
Always remember, never forget. Little bit of Jeopardy's parents of Quorum Carpenter. Blah, blah, blah. And that was very...
professional. Ta-ta.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
Hugh?
He's outside the door.
You going to play the game with the door again?
Hello? I understand someone summoned me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That friggin' door.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Nobody is better at being humble. Right. Nobody.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're the greatest.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Time for Buzz's News, brought to you by Viramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure.
Someone call for a doctor.
Come on.
And performance enhancer, doctor developed, clinically tested. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. But I also mentioned DonandMikeWebsite.com is up.
Go to the store.
Yes, the store is there with good stuff.
Yeah.
The affiliate list, the pictures, and what I like the best, the audio highlights. Because you know,
wonderful.
They won't let us stream the show on the internet.
Right.
However, we take 30 or 40 minutes out of every show, and let's see. I got to get a beverage.
There you go. Gargle.
1025. Phone scan. 1026, Ashley Simpson. 1027, Dr. Capers. 1028, Bo Sox win. 1029, Richard Eisen. 11-1, make Frieda laugh. 11-2, Brian Wilson. Then it goes on, how's your news, Joe's accident? I mean, everything that happens on the show.
You don't click on it and listen to the whole thing.
Download it, learn it, love it, live it, enjoy
live
it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And go to the store. Did you say that?
Go to the store.
Sorry about that.
Buy the jacket.
Yeah, there. Thanks, Mike. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Well, for disgraced domestic diva Martha Stewart, it was just another day behind bars, sweeping out cells, eating her prison lunch, and then spending the afternoon in her own cell making nearly $33 million. Martha got 6 cents an hour for the sweeping, $4 million an hour for the increased value of her stock thanks to Kmart's merger with Sears.
And that's because she owns something like, what is it, 33 million shares or something?
30 million shares at least, yeah.
Wow.
The buyout means Martha Stewart's Kmart fashions for the home and for the woman of the house will now also be available at Sears. And for Martha, that's a good thing. And no one can take that away from her since she still owns nearly 94% of the stock in Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia. Every time her stock value goes up 50 cents, she makes $15 million on her 30 million shares.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go, everybody.
It's a good thing.
A prison not so bad for Martha. O.J. Simpson, meanwhile, doesn't want to go. In fact, he's planning to flee the country, according to the National Enquirer. Which
now, why would he do that? He's an innocent man, Buzz.
Well, innocent of murder, perhaps, Don, because, as I've told you before, he was in church that day, but there may be other transgressions. And the National Enquirer is taking part of the credit for his exile. The tabloid's been dogging O.J. over what it calls his hidden fortune, assets he's allegedly hiding so he won't have to pay the Brown and Goldman families what a court has ordered him to pay. The Enquirer says the fallen football hero has failed to report almost $1 million in income to the IRS. The Enquirer says its investigation's already forced an associate of O.J.'s to come to court to testify against him.
Now, come on, don't lose your head over this.
The Inquirer says most of Simpson's fortunes are tied up in sports memorabilia, which is allegedly hidden in a couple of storage facilities in California.
You're really getting ahead of yourself, bud.
If convicted of felony tax fraud,
cut this out.
Simpson faces up to 5 years in prison plus fines. The paper sources say O.J. has vowed to flee the country rather than to face any of that. He reportedly has strong connections in the Bahamas, where the golfing is great.
So he's going to run. Just, you know, like he used to run through airports.
He also has $14,000 in pennies.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
How about that, right?
How about that?
How about that?
And from our Where Are They Now department, the man who used to be our boss has agreed to run Sirius Satellite Radio. Mel Karmazin, who founded Infinity Broadcasting and eventually took it to Viacom, will be the CEO of the satellite company.
You know what that is, Buzz? That's just a cotton-picking coincidence.
Isn't it?
It sure is.
Actually, I wonder if they're going to bring up all the quotes that Mel has said over the years about satellite radio.
How it'll never work.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to find those.
There's been speculation that Mel would do this ever since Howard Stern announced his 5-year deal with Sirius.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good spot to be in right now. Good spot to be in if you're one of the major guys at Viacom and at Infinity. Because these guys, it's like a Chinese fire drill. Mm-hmm. You know, no disrespect to any Orientals.
Of course. Right.
But these guys do not know how to handle this Stern thing. Mm-hmm. He's going out in downtown New York today. He's giving out the satellite radios. Mm-hmm. And they don't have whatever it needs, that they don't have whatever they need, whatever internal, God, what's the word?
Fortitude?
No.
Motivation?
I want to say the word. Starts with B, ends with S. You've got a set of them.
They don't have the intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, right. I love basketball. I love football. Uh-huh. Mike loves baseball. Okay? They just don't have what it takes to sit the guy down and say, dude, if you're going to work here, mm-hmm. work here.
Right.
You know, don't promote your other gig and don't give away satellite radios.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that run this company, really, they're so screwed up. Because on one hand, they're thinking, well, we can't lose all the money that he's going to bring in over the next 7 or 8 months.
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, they're going, God, every day we're letting him talk about satellite radio, and, mm-hmm. and he's doing this stuff. And now Mel, the guy that used to be our boss,
mm-hmm. right,
has gone over to the other side.
Yes, the dark side.
And you know what the people at Infinity are doing about this?
What?
I just talked to one of them moments ago.
Uh-huh.
They're sitting around going, what's he going to say about us tonight on David Letterman? What are we going to... He was giving away radios. Uh-huh. What are we going to say? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? And then meanwhile, I read this junk about who's going to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
But he either works out his time or you know, they come to an agreement. And I keep hearing, like, John Stewart's name.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
He likes his job.
Yeah, they're going to get... here's the thing. They don't know what they're going to do.
No, they don't.
Without, I mean, some stations know what they're going to do.
Some do.
Some stations
mm-hmm.
don't know what they're going to do. I think it's funny. And I think I said to Mike and the other guys, if I was Stern, I'd do the same thing.
Sure.
If I was working somewhere and I didn't want to work there, I would do everything I possibly could to get out and keep some of my dough.
Right, absolutely.
And that's what he's doing, and he's able to do it because the guys at Infinity are like this, oh no, Mel went there? Oh, you mean the Mel that used to work here? Oh my God, he's going to be on Letterman tonight, and that's owned by CBS. Oh my God, what are we, he gave away radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meanwhile, us, G. Gordon Liddy,
right.
Opie and Anthony, Imus, all these other guys, I think that at various times in our careers working mm-hmm. for Infinity,
right.
we've received certified letters.
We sure have.
From the company,
mm-hmm.
right?
Saying do this, don't do that.
That say do this or don't mm-hmm. do that.
Right.
But, you know, Howard, because...
He's Howard.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
well, they don't want to make him mad.
We can't do that. I just want to end with one thought.
Uh-huh.
I think that Mel Karmazin going to satellite radio will be a breath of fresh air.
Hi.
Anyway, it's funny. It's so funny that we can talk about this on our show.
For whatever reason, the whole thing just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
But if Howard talks about it on his show,
uh-huh.
they're going to delete it out.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, it's dumb. Anyway, good luck, Mel.
Good luck to everyone.
Good luck, Mel.
I don't know. I think the whole thing stinks.
Here's a consumer tip. I had to laugh earlier in the show.
I heard that story, and really, with bated breath, I was listening to that story. That awful, stinky story.
I had to chuckle earlier.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
I was amused earlier in the show when you were talking about a turducken that's been in your freezer for the last year, held
hey,
over
Buzz?
From last year. Yes.
What haven't I done for you?
Oh, please.
What haven't I done for you?
Other direction, please. Here's a consumer tip as the holidays draw closer. You will not get sick eating a turkey that's been frozen for 50 years. Bacteria doesn't grow well at below freezing temperatures, but the Butterball Turkey Hotline, which celebrates its 50th year this Thanksgiving, says a 50-year-old turkey would be the driest, most tasteless thing you've ever eaten, even if it's one of those butter-injected, self-basting turkeys.
That's what B. Arthur's husband says as well.
So you're going to take your year-old turkey, a turducken, and you're going to give it a try. It might not
you'll
be
bet.
As juicy.
It won't matter.
If it's well-sealed, it might be okay, only being a year or less old.
It has, the entire year that I've had it in my walk-in freezer out in the garage, it's been in that plastic-type box.
Oh, the styrofoam?
Yeah, they shipped it in like that. You see body parts being shipped in.
Right.
You know, that's the only thing that I can even compare it to.
You are going to cook it, though.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
It might be good after 11 months. It won't last 50 years, though. That's what the Butterball people are saying. And by the way, the oldest known turkey was discovered just a few years ago after having been at the bottom of a deep freeze since 1969.
A Buzz?
Yes.
Tomorrow, Mike and I will be at Union Station in D.C.
Yes.
And we will be giving away batteries.
Yeah, that's
that
good.
Operate transistor radios that receive FM and AM signals.
Yeah, and you don't need anything special. Just use the batteries. on us.
We're crazy out of control like that. Now, do you think the Infinity guys are going, oh, my God, get away
from first. What are they doing?
Yeah. No, with us, you know what it would be? Right. They'd call us up right away.
Stop it.
Hey, dumbass. Don't do that.
Help! Butterball says the owner of that 1969 turkey wanted to cook it, but was advised against it, not because it would make him ill, but because it wouldn't have tasted very good.
Oh, come on.
Goodbye, turkey. My turkey will be in touch.
You got to work out today, Robbie.
And here's something you need to know if you're a new parent or planning on becoming a parent. A new study says baby chimpanzees are smarter than baby humans. A university study says that, at least on one level, baby chimps are much smarter. The study showed them adapting to tools much more quickly than their human cousins. The chimps were better at problem solving and behaved more intelligently than the preschool children.
Oh, boy.
The chimps were able to figure out how to get food out of a box. The kids could not. As for monkey see, monkey do, they found that humans were more likely to copy adult behavior even when it didn't make any sense.
Oh, boy.
The chimps would do this only to impress the adults.
Oh, boy.
When adults left the room, the chimps stopped the copycat behavior. But the scientists say the human toddlers were better than the chimps at picking up cultural things.
Do chimps run over and break things?
Yes, sometimes. Oh. Yes.
You're talking about thumbs?
Flush them down toilets.
Yeah, sometimes chimps put things in the toilet, and sometimes they just grab mommy's new plate and throw it down. No good reason.
And another new study says toddlers who learn to speak Mandarin Chinese make better musicians.
Kids just like Robert.
Kids who learned to speak Mandarin instead of English were less likely to be tone deaf. The Mandarin speaking babies had perfect pitch. See? Perfect pitch is extremely rare in Europe and the United States. Only one person in every 10,000 has it. Scientists say it's all about the tones used in speaking Mandarin, which are subtle but crucial to the meaning of what's being said. The Mandarin word ma, depending on the tone you use, can mean mother, horse, hemp, or it can be a scolding. The moral, of course, is that if you want to hold a small creature in your arms you can be proud of, get a Chinese monkey. If you're when they get older, they're not so pleasant.
Yeah, there's the older chimp.
Enough of that.
If you're snuggled up to something cushy on an American Airlines MD-80 jet, you need to know that's not a pillow. American Airlines says it can save money in the mid-six figures by eliminating pillows from the MD-80s.
Oh, my God.
The airline, struggling as they all are, says its cleanup crews can concentrate on making the planes cleaner instead of on collecting pillows.
Mike and I will be at Union Station tomorrow
yes?
giving away
free pillows.
Free pillows.
Wow.
That's right. We're leaving Infinity. Uh-huh. We're going to work for the Sealy Mattress Company.
That's going to be delightful. Enjoy your free pillow.
We have great news. Mel has decided he's quit the other job. He's going to be the president of the Sealy Mattress Company.
Very exciting news.
Going to be giving away pillows tomorrow because that's how cutting edge we are.
Are they new pillows or reconditioned?
I'm not wearing a pillow. Don't sweat the lack of pillows on the American Airlines MD-80s because the MD-80 has an adjustable headrest and it's mainly used for shorter flights anyway. The pillows will remain on all other American flights.
Oh, thank God, those skeezy pillows.
I was just going to say, are we not all in agreement that pillows are the worst friggin' pillows in the world?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. I mean, it's not like they launder them every time they fly.
They don't?
No.
They're too small even for a midget's head.
But they have plenty of drool in them. Perfect for a chimp.
Oh, and they've got those pillowcase covers.
Yeah, the little blue ones that look like paper.
Yeah, that really looks like the stuff that gauze comes wrapped in.
Exactly.
Right?
Like
you get a product from Johnson & Johnson.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Recently, Sharper Image sued Consumer Reports magazine over a bad review of one of Sharper Image's products. In a moment, the results of that trial.
Ooh, you're crazy with your teasing, Buzz.
Crazy.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Oh,
Expect a miracle every day on the Don and Mike Show.
And this just in tonight on Ron and Fez, they're going to announce they're going to be down at Union Station tomorrow in D.C. Yeah.
What are they handing out?
Midgets.
Hey, how about that?
Only because wasn't that their word of the day you screwed up the other day?
Yeah, I've run it twice. I might run it again tonight. Stay tuned.
Spy report.
See, Ron and Fez have a contest where they play I'm sure it wasn't their idea. This has to be a program director idea.
Spy report.
Where they play a tape at the end of our show saying,
smells like Todd's spirit.
This is Ron and Fez. Tonight on Don, after Don and Mike, listen for our show. When we say this word, call in to win a prize.
I always hear it when I'm walking out of the building, and it's one of my favorite times of the day.
Yeah. So Rob, 2 days in a row, played the tape where Fez said the word was midget.
Midget, and they were upset. He says, do you know how hard it is to work the word midget into a conversation?
So Ron and Fez will be at Union Station tomorrow handing out midgets.
That's right.
Then the next day they'll be handing out secret words.
And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. When Sharper Image read that Consumer Reports really didn't like its ionizer air cleaner very much, Sharper Image sued Consumer Reports. A judge has ruled Consumer Reports was right. It's not a very good air cleaner.
Sharper.
And with that, he threw Sharper Image's lawsuit out of court. Now, the magazine reported that the Ionic Breeze doesn't work very well. Sharper Image says Consumer Reports didn't test it correctly.
Oh, Buzz?
Yes?
Tomorrow, Rob and Beth Ann will be out handing out air cleaners.
And Joe will be the next day, Joe will be down at the local bus station handing out scabs. The judge says Sharper Image failed to prove that the product wasn't tested correctly. Consumer Reports says this case is really about free speech and how that's made more difficult when product reviews become the targets of lawsuits.
I like the Sharper Image, but shouldn't the title of that store really be, come in here if you are making way too much money?
Yes. Come in here if you're in a mall with someone and you're bored. If you need vibrating shoes, that's the store to go to.
Want to spend $300 on a gift that someone will look at once and then put in their closet?
Right.
Welcome.
Don't I know it. A trusted name in computer...
Oh, all right. Is this going to get back to Slam Man?
Yeah. Slam Man knew it.
Is that where you got Slam Man?
Sorry, I brought it up.
I forgot about that.
Image product.
Forgot about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, boy. A trusted name in computer...
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
Thank you, Alan Dick. Trusted name in computer printers has violated our trust. Computer pros say Lexmark is installing spyware on its customers' computers, which would allow the company to monitor, for example, your porn preferences. The computer group says Lexmark's been using undocumented software that monitors the use of its printers and silently reports back to a company website. Lexmark denied this at first.
Oh, no,
now,
that's so evil.
Yeah. Now it admits it was tracking printer and cartridge use, but just that. Lexmark says it's impossible to identify anyone through its spyware,
although it does have your printer's serial number.
Hey, did you hear what's going on here? This is not a gag.
Why?
You know, we have like 8,000 computers now in the studio.
Right.
And one of the main computers that we have is something called MediaTouch that runs all of the commercials off computer.
It's the new stuff that we got put in here to get to make it more efficient.
MediaTouch crashed yesterday.
Oh, no.
And the reason is... somebody at the station, I don't want to say it's Travis because I don't know.
No, we don't know.
But this is true, I swear to God. The reason MediaTouch crashed is because people were downloading and watching porn on the MediaTouch computer.
Oh, my God.
Now, we've got like 8,000 different harebrained computer systems.
Why the hell do they use the MediaTouch one? Because porn is media that involves touching.
Very good, Buzz.
And they're the biggest monitors, the best monitors, and they're the computers that work the fastest.
There you go.
Do you think it's because it was on a touch screen?
Oh, that's gross.
Anyway, that's true. And how long was MediaTouch down?
They had to restart the whole thing, but when they shut everything down... that pretty much takes us off the air.
So once again,
sorry.
It's pornography.
Yeah. Right.
It's pornography.
Oh, leave the boys alone. Cause MediaTouch to go down. When the video recorder known as TiVo came out.
That was a joke, Buzz.
Yes, it was. Ah, yeah. When TiVo came out in 1999, viewers were thrilled to be able to skip commercials more easily than ever before. TiVo's slogan back then was TV Your Way.
Right.
But behind the scenes, TiVo was trying to make friends with the people who run the commercials. And starting in March of next year, TiVo viewers will see pop-up ads every time they try to skip TV commercials. The pop-ups give the viewer a chance to order the item they see advertised in the pop-up, or enter a contest, or anything else.
Hold on. Here's the thing. Buzz hates TiVo.
I'm reporting facts. He likes replay TV.
Buzz hates the government or anybody looking at anything you have.
Mm-hmm.
This is no different than when you're watching a show and it says, want to record the show?
Right.
Press thumbs up or thumbs down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, right?
Will it slow down my skipping through commercials?
No, I don't think so. I think you'll skip at the same speed, but you'll just have to erase or escape from the pop-up that appears on the screen.
And Buzz Burbank, incidentally, will be at Union Station tomorrow giving away TiVos. Because that's how crazy he is, how out of control he is. And then he's going on the letter.
You do hate TiVo, don't you?
No, I don't. I just prefer the other brand, Replay, or Panasonic Showstopper, which is a replay product. Because they don't spy on their customers.
Then he's going on the Letterman show. And how do you know they don't spy on you?
I just know.
Aren't they all made by the Japanese?
Well,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
TiVo's always tracked its customers' viewing habits and forwarded that information to networks and advertisers. Other companies, as you know, also make this type of recorder, and they don't collect that information.
Don't forget their slogan.
Yes.
We are not men, we are TiVo.
We are TiVo.
Because that was Devo.
Not men, we are TiVo.
Yes, it was. In sports, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban has been fined again by the NBA.
He's a fan of the show.
We love you, Mark.
Good guy. We admire this guy, but he's been fined again by the league, this time for blogging. Blog is short for weblog or internet diary. The entry that got him fined, written by Cuban himself, not an assistant, speculated the league's opening night on Election Day would get no TV coverage because of all the political news. The NBA didn't like that and hit Cuban with yet another in an endless series of fines.
Well, he's right.
Yeah.
Just like he was right about the COVID thing.
It's a free country. You should be able to say whatever he wants on the internet.
Hello?
Hey.
Everybody else does.
Call your boyfriend. Maybe you can get him on next week.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Do you still email him all the time? Hello?
She's already contacted.
Like the wind, she is gone.
She's gone, but Beth Ann's got that email thing going with Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
Sure, she does.
She's writing now, furiously. Finally, for years, decades, maybe even generations, they've had a homecoming tradition at a tiny school district in Texas. It was called Twerp Day. Twerp, T-W-I-R-P, stood for The Woman Is Requested to Pay.
Oh, twerp?
Yeah, twerp.
Like you twerp.
Yeah, only this stood for something. The woman is requested to pay.
Okay. Not like half the people walking around here.
Hey, twerp.
Twerps.
The schools of Spurger, Texas allowed boys to come to school dressed as girls and vice versa on this special day. Like I said, this has gone on for decades. It was a chance for the girls to open doors for the boys, to buy them sodas and to ask them on dates. But after years without a single complaint... the event has been canceled this year.
Why?
Because now suddenly the event has...
You always can have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
That machine just went off by itself, Mike.
I don't know the significance of that.
There is no significance. It went off by itself.
All right. You saw me that one night, didn't you?
Twerp Day has been canceled at Texas schools this year because now suddenly the event has been labeled as too gay. Quoting one conservative woman, one parent, It's like experimenting with drugs. You just keep playing with it, and it becomes customary.
Want to get high?
If it's okay to dress like a girl today, then why is it not okay in the future? She says.
Oh, God.
Exactly, Mrs. Davies.
Just too gay.
Why isn't it? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Oh, man. Yeah, boy. That's it. We got to go. We will see you tomorrow with a new episode. Don't forget, for all information on this show, it's www.donandmikewebsite.com. Rod and Fez are coming up next on WJFK on Live 105 and on The Buzz in Tampa Bay. And we'll be back tomorrow with another new episode. We will see you then. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you, good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. And my friend,
Pink Love Mud.
You got it in there.
We will see you tomorrow.
Green Fairy.
Will we meet again? This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.